boy, I forgot to turn Audacity on.
It's okay.
Oh, that's a good one. So I want to give a big shout out. Oh, hey, Matt, how you doing?
No one's listening to this anyway.
That's fine.
All those little SOBs.
Oh, no, don't. Meadow.
What?
Meadow,
what
I wish
you
wouldn't say that.
Nah, everyone listens to this podcast as SOBs.
Oh, boy. Oh, no.
What? What's not on?
Nothing. There's no audio.
Okay. Well, we'll just do that over
again. Oh, no. Oh, and this is getting picked up in Audacity.
No, there's no audio on the stream.
So, so what I would like to give a big shout out to Mr. Woolley.
Who?
Because, did I not move the logo? Oh, God. Oh, I'm breaking down all the walls.
Just take it one step
okay.
at a time.
I think I fixed it. Hey, so we try and keep the podcast and stream experience separate for everybody at home.
Yeah.
But since Woolley is out getting...
It's really good,
it's
though.
It's a really good joke.
It's a really good joke, but...
We're just not going to...
Not going to do it.
He's getting something taken care of in Amsterdam. You know, better his life and whatnot.
Yeah.
We're going to, like...
Lighten up his life.
Yeah, lighten up his life. He has left the podcast to our semi-capable hands.
Grimy clutches.
With a somewhat... freaked my shit out 60 bullet point list of things to do.
Yeah, but like I was saying, this when if I go on the street and I grab a child by the collar and I'll say, make it a let's play now,
yeah,
and upload it, it would be like a 70
list thing. every step of like, go into the DivX codec,
click
and
it,
and then do the 7800 kilobytes for these, it a 720p video. Yeah.
So it's, you know.
Yeah, but we're just not used to doing it. Hey, Matt, how you doing? What up, man?
I'm okay.
You doing good?
Oh,
still,
man.
Think everybody listening to this podcast is a bunch of SOBs?
What? No. I mean, yes.
Probably.
Everyone listens to podcasts as SOBs.
Why would you listen to a podcast such as this? Oh, also, before we keep going, congrats to Woolley for not missing a single podcast in 211 episodes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
With your streak finally broken at 212, you are now dead to the podcast world. You're a terrible podcast. I did it.
If it continues without him, that means it's fine. Is it not?
What do you mean?
Like
if he's dead right now?
No, like if let's say... He's a good podcastman. Even if he's not here, he was able to convey enough information for it to continue unabated.
Oh, yeah. Like if the podcast comes out at all.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this, Woolley did an okay job.
So like if a captain dies or like just leaves or just sleeps a whole bunch in a ship.
Yeah. So if
the
captain...
other guys should have known enough by example.
So the captain's like asleep, drunk at the wheel in a different country.
Yeah.
And he's like, you guys got this? And we're like, no. And then the ship doesn't
crash.
You're
a bad leader.
Oh, boy.
Leader of
hey,
the
Matt,
bunch.
What's up, man?
Hey.
Tell me about some shit. That's great.
So I watched Death Note.
Yeah! Right. I didn't watch Death Note, but I saw some pieces of Death Note.
I'll put the preamble in front of the thing, because I don't think Death Note is, like, all that great.
Mm-hmm.
It's a decent anime. I watched it. I enjoyed it, and that was about it.
Now, I'm going to assume you're talking about
the anime.
New...
Yes, I'm talking about the new American adaptation, but I'm talking about the original anime. I was like, yeah, it was pretty good. It was fine. I didn't care for any of the Japanese movies. They're just like almost any live action adaptation of any anime. It's usually like, even if it's made by whatever countries, they're not great. But
I heard that anime is terrible.
No. So I watched it, and there's thoughts certainly. going through my head, and one of them is that it's a terrible adaptation of any source material, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it is inferior to the anime, right?
Yeah.
Like in terms of its overall story progression.
Well, I mean, I haven't watched it, but isn't the anime like 50 episodes long?
I think it's less than that.
Okay, but
I can't remember.
It's
I think,
a full
I,
series.
I thought it was like 24, 25-ish.
Being
maybe I'm wrong.
In a,
maybe
what,
30.
A
I don't
90.
Know.
200 minute movie?
Well, they only do a certain
arc
part of it.
Yeah, okay.
But here's the thing is that like my two positive thoughts is that if you're going to remake anything, you got to be very different while still retaining the core like story beats, like guy gets this, does this with that, and this happens, mm-hmm. right? So as like a remake, like there's a remake that reminds me of Let the Right One In, or mm-hmm. Let Me In is the American adaptation. It's the exact same movie.
Yeah, it goes they just change it from like Swedish to English.
The Swedish to, I think it's in Alaska. No, it's in New Mexico, even though there's snow everywhere. Maybe they're on the mountains. I forget. But it's the exact same movie beat for beat. They speak English. That's the only real difference. Mm-hmm. Right? So this is like it is a full American version of Death Note where things that only would happen in America would happen. Okay. Characters react like I would think Americans would react.
Uh-huh.
And one of them, if you've seen it, is when Ryuk first appears.
Yes, I have seen this.
And it's Light Turner freaking his shit and screaming at the top of his lungs.
Like a little Shia LaBeouf.
Which is what I expect if I don't know anything about Death Note and click on a movie where it says guy gets a magical book and there's a demon, right? I would expect that guy to react like that.
I think most people's problems with that is that like his terror is like
is childlike.
It's so bad. Yeah, like it's like Transformers like gag shock.
Yeah,
level.
It's like Michael Bay was directing it, right? Mm-hmm. So you know, as it goes on, I kind of felt like if I had no knowledge of Death Note at all, and I watch about like 3 or 4 horror movies a week.
Yes, you do.
Over Netflix, over Xbox Video, whatever. If I just clicked on this random Death Note movie, am mm-hmm. I going to watch this movie? I was like, that was fine. I was like a 6.
You
would like a 7 at most.
Come away from it going, boy, that sure was based off of one of the most popular anime franchises of all time.
Is it? I don't think
it is.
I don't
know. People are...
There's fans of it for sure. I don't think it changed.
Is it Dragon Ball Evolution?
It's way better than that.
Okay.
I have not seen Ghost in the Shell, so I don't know about that. I've not watched Fist of the North Star all the way through.
Oh, you haven't?
Not all the way through.
Okay, because that's like... Dragon Ball Evolution is like multiple steps above of that Fist of the North Star movie.
Okay.
That is the abject just fucking...
I wish they'd made get another shot. Anyway, Ryuk, Willem Dafoe is amazing in it. There's lots of gory scenes that were well done. But other than that, like, yeah, all the characters were annoying. I like what they did with Light in some... not Light, with L in some scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the anime, it always feels a joke. He's like, you don't take him seriously. He's this weird little guy.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy seems more like a grounded, real person, but still has some of the weirdness of him. Mm-hmm. I was like, he's fine. Everyone else has a problem. But like, yeah, it's like a 6 for me.
So, Matt, as the Death Note expert in this room.
Right now, by default.
Would you say that I should start Death Note at the Netflix adaptation?
Well, it sets itself up for big, big sequels.
Oh, man. That's fucking super lame already.
Well, if it does well for Netflix, they'll greenlight a second one, you know? That's how it works. But
I saw fucking Brennan just, like, screaming into the void on Twitter while he was watching it the other day.
Mostly anyone that even knows a bit about Death Note was. But, like, as a standalone movie, like, it was a 6. Like, I've seen so much worse. I've seen so much better.
Do you think the amount of trash you consume, like, forces you to give things, like, a fairer pass?
I think I have a broad spectrum. Well, it comes to horror movies.
You're, like, the shittest shit taste in your mouth that you've had in your life is, like, worse than most people encounter.
Well, I've often said, like, the last thing you want to be is a 4 to a 6. Like, Suicide Squad is a 5.
Suicide Squad's a 5.
Is a 5. Like, I distinctly remember less of it as seconds go on.
I took a piss at the only good part in the movie, and when I came
I didn't know you saw it.
Yeah, I saw it, and I took a piss right when they met the fucking...
The guy.
No.
The girl?
And she shot all the FBIs.
Sure. And I don't even know what you're talking about.
And that was supposed to be a cool moment. And I was in the bathroom taking a piss. And I think I was spending my time better than watching it. Man, that movie sucks. Holy shit.
But it's a 5. It's not a 0. It's not a 1. It's not a 2. It's not a 3.
A 0
Suicide
Squad. I would
like a Samurai Cop as a 0, you know? Like, in terms of the movie quality on display.
No, I was going to say, like, is Samurai Cop even a 0?
like I said before, it's a zero, but the counter went all the way back.
Is that like a minus two?
No, it's a zero. Well, you can't get lower than zero.
Yeah, but a minus two on the shit scale would be an eight in the ironic good scale, right?
So that was Death Note. That's all I really have to say about it. I played a couple things. Played Sonic Mania.
How's Sonic Mania? Tell me. I'm waiting for the PC release. So
Sonic Mania is really good. I have two gripes about it. Is that in the middle portion, the two brand new zones that are like, well, there's a couple brand new zones, but like in the middle portion of the game, they have a zone. I think it's called Press Garden.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good zone. It's very like random, and you're just like, "What? I don't get it." It's mm-hmm. This is weird. And there's like a dip in, I don't know, momentum and in fun in the middle, but then it goes to, I think it's Mirage Saloon Western themed,
mm-hmm.
and it's on a train.
Yeah,
the level's on a train.
Oh, that's it. Oh,
and then you have like a flying level in the tornado, and I was like, "Oh shit! Okay, yeah." And that's where I was like, okay, got some momentum back.
How's the split between old and new zones?
It's, I think someone said there's a total of 12, like all things considered. But that seems still like a lot to me. But someone said it's half and half.
Well, that makes sense. And 12 is twice as much as a regular-ass Sonic game.
Yeah, but there's some zones that are like, they're a sequence.
Yeah.
And that counts as like zone act one or whatever. So all the old zones that are come back, they're great. Like usually the second part of that zone, I said zone so much, is really good. Has new stuff. The one other little gripe I have is that they overuse. I never found it fun. The Sonic 3 maze bonus game where you run in the grid around the globe.
Tell me how they overuse it, because that's like. That's like my favorite part of those games.
Really? Because I'm always a fan of the Sonic 2 like halfpipe.
I fucking hate that halfpipe.
Oh, okay, well there you go. You'll like this.
Okay, what do you mean by overuse? Like where? Why?
Okay, in each zone there's a giant hidden ring, and that brings you to the new mini game that they made for the game. That's like pseudo 3D.
Yeah.
And that mini game is fucking awesome. It's really fun all the time. And then every single ring checkpoint that you go to will always bring you to the Sonic 3. Version, and that's how you get.
You choose or not to go in those.
You can choose not to go if you, long as you have the ring requirement. I think it's 30,
mm-hmm.
and it's just
it does that bullshit where it spins the
and then
the
has the
portal
little sparkles,
above it. Yeah,
sparkles
okay.
around.
Yeah.
So you jump into it, so you don't have to do it, but you have to do it if you want medals.
Yeah,
and
you
medals
do.
Unlock different modes and things.
Hell yeah!
So you see, and there's like 24 like medals, and I'm just like, you have to. And they're hard. They're really hard. And like for me, they're hard in an unfun way.
Okay.
The new mini game gets harder as you do it, but it's always fun and always it feels like I don't know. It just feels better to play, and I really enjoyed those. Those are how you get the Chaos Emeralds, though.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the main thing to complete the game and get the full whatever. But
oh, I'm so excited. For
other than that,
game.
The fucking Sonic 25th anniversary stream with the fucking buzz. It's amazing.
So
there's some cameos in the game that are fun. But overall, I liked it. There was just like, yeah, I'm not a fan of the Sonic 3
How's
maze thing.
How's the
music? I didn't get to hear like a whole bunch of it, but like it seemed really good. The remixes of old themes were really good too. Chemical Plant Zone had a really awesome remix. And it always happens in the second part of that zone.
Mm-hmm.
So you get the traditional one, the sound's just better audio quality. And then you get like a really sick remix in the next part.
Great.
So...
Sonic's
stuff.
Back, everybody. Look, not Sega made it. They made it good. Oh, fuck. Matt and I talked like on three different occasions last week over like, I can't fucking believe somebody just said, fuck you, I'll make a better Sonic game. And then they just did it. And Sega can't do it. Boy, I'm looking.
Well, to be fair, Mega Man versus Street Fighter was the best Mega Man.
It was pretty good.
In a while.
Oh, man. I'm so excited for Sonic Forces.
I think I'm about to say Sonic 4.
Says,
I still love that in all the intros and shit for Sonic Mania. They just cut out 4.
It. Just fuck it.
I also played... Well, this is with Wooly. You would have seen on the channel, right? But yeah. I played Uncharted Lost Legacy. But I want to play that separately, like from where I left off. I was really enjoying that. I like mm-hmm. the two main characters in that. I mean, I've played very little Uncharted, and I know exactly what I'm going for. And then when what you're running on is falling apart and bullets are flying, you're like, hey, everyone, it's Uncharted.
Your character is made out of 1,000 pounds because
and,
everything they step on dies.
Yes, actually. And these girls weigh less than, like, Nathan Drake, like, combined.
Yeah.
but they have lots of guns. So, and I was really surprised, but you have like a free roaming section and you have a Jeep and you're just going around a huge map. After
yeah,
a
that
while.
that was one of the big showpiece things in 4.
Okay,
where
they
Drake and Sully getting a fucking Jeep in a fucking big ass planes and you're driving around doing shit. And it's like, considering how linear that series often is, especially with the platforming of literally like go to that yellow one, go to that yellow one, go to that yellow one. Like, it's nice to see. I would love that kind of game, but just like opener.
Well, because like it seems like she marks things on her map, and then you go to them, and then your little set piece will happen at that area, and then you leave, and then you drive away.
Yeah, that
and,
works.
And find little outposts, things like that. So, I was enjoying that. I also went to Dog Con. Literally went to Dog Con.
You went to Dog Con
on Saturday.
I saw.
Yeah,
I saw that you went to Dog Con.
I didn't. So here's the thing: where are we going from a birthday trip? And Lana goes, Dad, just don't worry about it. I'm like, where are we going? Where are we going? Where are we going? And then she's like, don't look. Don't look. Like, we're driving for a bit. And she's like, don't look out the window. I'm like,
really?
Okay,
straight up, don't look out the fucking window?
Like, you want to be a surprise as
long as
possible.
Close your eyes, jackass.
So I just looked at the floor. And then as we get out of the car behind a building, because we have to park a little bit of ways away, I see a guy with a big fluffy dog. And I was like, ah, I love that guy's dog. And then I see two children walking down the street with a dog as we drive past them. And then we park the car, and I didn't think anything of it.
Yeah, I mean, you used to live next to a dog park.
I did. So, but this is an industrial part of LaSalle.
Maybe it's an industrial dog park of LaSalle.
So then one other person parks their car in front of us, and she comes out of the car with a dog. And I go, dog park, it's a dog thing. There's dogs everywhere. It took the third one for it to click, and I go, it's a dog, dog, dog.
It's a dog thing.
So yeah, it's Dog Fest, and it was just basically a gigantic, like, caged off area where there's a track, like the obstacle course for anyone to take your dog in. You step it up if you think you're hard enough. Can your dog do it?
No.
Most of them couldn't.
A bunch of fat Lhasa Apso's just falling all over the track.
And there's two separate cages, one for big dogs to play fetch and one for little dogs to play fetch. So I asked, like, can I go in there and play fetch? Like, no, it's only the dog and their owner that can play fetch because, you know, they don't have the
dog. You should have brought a fake dog.
I should have had, like, I should have put, like, a suit on Zach or
you
something.
You should have brought, like, a cardboard cutout of, like, a beagle and had it on a leash with wheels.
And just mostly what it was people just going up to dogs and taking pictures and whatever and hugging them. The highlight was the pit bull kissing booth where they put a pit bull in like a pink dress and like a tiara. And I just go up to the, and it also, it went towards that raising money to go against that stupid pit bull ban. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I just shoved like a $10 bill in there and I go up to this pit bull. It just starts licking my face. And I'm just like, this is the most happy. Anyway,
bulldogs, pit bulls, Rottweilers, etc., in frilly little dresses with tiaras.
What's pretty funny is that right before this, I said, "Hey, we're not going to like a dog fighting pit, are we?" Ha ha ha. Like, you know,
is that something you guys go to sometimes?
No, which was weird.
That's,
when it turned out to be like a dog thing,
like that,
I was like, that was a guess that was strangely accurate.
Like, I feel like that's the kind of thing that, like, if you, like, upon meeting your father-in-law and
that's a red flag.
And you don't know them that well and descriptions are not clear and you're like, why is there a bloody carpet in the back? Why are we
we went to go get those Xboxes.
That's true.
Anyway. Everyone's like, what? No,
don't worry about it. Those Xboxes were super real
and
all of them broke.
No, mine's still fine.
Fucking fuck you, Greg.
I don't know
Ben.
About Woolies though.
Fucking
and
pieces of shit.
Sunday went to a water park, almost died.
Why did you almost die?
I almost drowned. There was a giant wave pool, and usually wave pools have one big wave, everyone goes, whoa.
Yeah.
This one had a wave pool that just didn't stop. And I was right in the middle of those waves where they're pushing me forward. Then as the wave retreats, it sucks me back.
Oh, man.
So I was getting sucked like off and on and I just couldn't get out. And then, of course, I'm right near the wall and I'm trying to grab the wall and I'm in deep enough that I can't feel the bottom. So, of course, I look up and there's like 21-year-old Baywatch lifeguard girl just going, you okay? And I'm like, oh, eh, eh. And I kind of almost die right after doing that, like a bunch of water.
Like, please, please not now.
And I come back up and I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I was like, what's wrong? I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just giving the thumbs up, trying to not die in front of girls. And I didn't.
That's how you're going to die.
It's how we're all going to die at the end of the day.
Like, I have a feeling that I'm going to have that heart attack, and then all my friends and family are going to run in and go, ah! One too many cookies, fatso. It's like, oh, man. Really? I got like 5 seconds left
and
here.
And like you see them like already like on a site like making the gravestone where it says one too many cookies. Like they're fun.
It's a fucking gravestone that's shaped like a box of Chips Ahoy.
Mm. And the last thing is I got back into Lucha Underground, almost done season two. We'll talk about a bit about Lucha Underground a bit in a later segment called We Are Talking About Lucha Underground.
That's right.
From season two, I haven't finished it yet, but Aztec Warfare 2, super awesome. I was kind of cool on the first one. I was
really?
Like, I was like, it's fine, it's good, but I'm like, at the end of the day, it's just a Royal Rumble where it's not really a Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a weird match. But then there's something about this one that clicked more.
Well, the second one introduces Matanza in Aztec Warrior. Aztec Warfare.
So here's the problem with Matanza. Is that I like it if his name is Matanza, Matanza.
The monster Matanza.
But I don't like the monster Matanza Cueto.
Oh, I know.
It makes him less of a weird supernatural monster.
He's like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre kind of guy.
It is.
Not like a Jason kind of guy.
You know what his actual problem is? That he isn't big enough. He's Cage, the Mac, and, of course, Mil Muerte are all his height or slightly bigger. Cage is taller.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you needed a guy. Like, he's imposing. Like, his body is like, oh, he's a big grizzly guy.
Yeah, and he's also, like more of a rectangle than all the other guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was kind of hoping for Kane when he came out, or even the Undertaker's stature, but, you know, he can't win them all. Okay.
He's a good squash champ.
Very, very good. Like Brock Lesnar, like, in that, like, oh, can anyone beat him? And like, yeah,
no.
Probably eventually. I don't know.
No.
The one thing I have to say is that I was, when Famous B started really coming up and doing all this shit,
yeah,
I was like, it's fine. It's funny. But I wasn't blown away by it. But what I was blown away was when there's a bunch of wrestlers just hanging out in the ring for something. And then Dario Cueto comes back, mm-hmm. and he shows up, and he's like, I'm Dario Cueto, and I have my brother Matanza. And you can hear off screen a bit, but the camera goes in on Famous B, and he points to Dario and goes, hey, that dude's famous!
It's just, he loves it, man.
That was funny.
He needs the fame.
I liked it. So,
4-2-3, get fame. Such a good goddamn gimmick.
He doesn't do anything with
it. I know, but it's like, he's still making the same amount of money, and he's not taking bumps.
Yes. Fair enough, fair enough. Yeah,
Is that pretty much it for you, Matt?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. My week's actually going to be super short this week, because I didn't play anything of note that was new. I went back to try and finish the Witcher 3 expansion, but there's nothing new to say about it other than it's a good game.
And you haven't finished it.
That I haven't finished it. Okay. Spent the whole weekend fucking just binging the shit out of the new Twin Peaks season with the girlfriend, because she had just finished season two a few days ago, and watched episode 16 last night. And next week is the end of the new season. Where are you at on that, man?
I I've been doing Game of Thrones now, so like, I saw that too, but I'll talk to Willie about that when he comes back. I have not. I didn't get past like episode 6.
Okay. So almost everybody I know stopped watching in some form for whatever reason.
So I did.
Around episode 5 or 6. This is going to be. How do I talk about this? Okay. Lynch and Frost are in total creative control of every single aspect of every single episode.
Mm-hmm.
And while I love that for the moments that it hits.
Maybe there's some moments.
There is such a thing as too much control.
Yes, there absolutely is.
Because, like, every single episode ends with a full musical act by a band that I don't give a shit about.
What do you mean?
Like at the Roadhouse.
Oh, right, right, right. Of course, yeah. Like, sorry, I thought you like the show just stops and yeah. It just cuts to a concert.
That's basically what fucking happens. There are long ass scenes of just shot reverse shot of characters just staring at each other.
Yeah, there is.
And then saying one thing, and then just staring at each other. But that's fine. Lynch loves that, and I can appreciate it. The general plotting of those episodes is like, it's very similar to how like me and Wooly complained about the new Evangelion movie is that it is based on frustrating the audience, which is a very weird thing to be going for.
I guess when you have 16 episodes, they're like, hey, we can spend time frustrating the audience.
Absolutely. So like you get this point where it's like, okay, there are like fucking, I want to say 15 different plot threads, right? There's Ed and Nadine. There's what's going on with James. There's the murder in Buckhorn. Mm-hmm. There's Dr. Amp and his radio show. There, you know, all these. There's what's going on with Cooper, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
That's the main one.
And you'll be given a scene in which people talk for a little while, or they'll do a little thing, and they'll get one information. They will get one whole information.
One unit of info.
Yes. And they'll go, huh. And then it will cut to some bullshit you don't care about.
Right.
Like drug addict, not Macaulay Culkin, trying to get a job interview.
Right.
And it'll follow him for like the rest of the episode.
Minutes.
And you're going to be like, no, but what? And then once you get invested in that story,
it'll start.
And you're going to, oh, drug addict Macaulay Culkin failed his job interview, and now he's got a bunch of drugs. What's gonna? Oh, now we're back to Cooper that I actually don't care about right now. I want to go back. Like
I was getting a whiff of all that.
It is a story based on like anti closure.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm so happy that once you get to 14, 15, 16, you start actually getting closure.
Okay.
Like, I feel confident because I know a lot of people probably just quit the show because they couldn't take it.
Yeah.
And there was a real worry. So there's a character who I won't name because it would be a huge spoiler.
Right.
But they get in episodes 14, 15, 13, 14, 15, they get crazy long scenes, like 10-minute long scenes that go nowhere. Right?
Yeah.
One per episode. And you're like, this is really interesting, provided this actually goes somewhere. Because
does it?
Because there's the nagging feeling in your heart that's like, this is just going to straight up go nowhere. Because sometimes it does. And then when it finally does go somewhere, just that feeling of just, oh, like intense catharsis. And the pacing goes from glacial to lightning fast.
Really?
And all of a sudden, bam, bam, finished. And you're just awash in closure, infinite closure. And you're just like last night's episode, there was clapping, there was cheering, there was yelling at the TV. Like it's
okay.
Since the series is over next week, if you've held off for whatever reason, or you were afraid that it wasn't going to deliver on anything you wanted, now's the time you can go back in and binge it.
Okay.
And fucking actually get something. Like, characters are answering questions. Character arcs are finishing. You're getting what you want. And it's so good. It is a 18-hour movie in which 90% of it is blue balls before the big fight.
Okay.
And it's ridiculous.
It's interesting because Game of Thrones is very the opposite of it, where it's less episodes than any season ever, and each one does those weird like travel issues that we're talking about to you, where people
just teleport.
But
there's no time.
But every episode is like, holy shit! Oh what? You have that secret? Oh my god! Like every single one. Whereas the last, I'd say, two seasons of Game of Thrones before that was like literally spinning its wheels, where people were just still not meeting. Just people were not like getting anything done. It was just kind of stalemate after stalemate. So yeah, it was kind of like that season of the third season of Twin Peaks is like three seasons of Game of Thrones, where it spent 90% of it and with not much happening.
Well, it's the kind of thing where I read up on the production of the third season of Twin Peaks, right? Yeah. And I found out that like there was an argument in pre-production between Showtime executives
and David Lynch
that, from its description, sounds like it escalated to the point of near walk-offs and possible, like, coming to fists.
Yeah.
Because of Showtime going, do you really fucking need 18 episodes for this? We looked at the shit. You can totally do this in 9. Or 12, easy. Yeah. And you'll save us, like, $50 million. Like, and... it's not stated in any of the stuff that I found, but I found it weird that it would become like so pitched, so like pointed, because there's an episode where you have not seen it yet, Matt.
No, the episode that you're talking about is it the one that's just
slow motion?
Yeah, yeah.
And it is an episode in which I think everyone at home, no matter how much you love that episode or think it's genius, can understand that if I was somebody on the production team for this, I would fight Lynch to cancel this fucking thing, because it is a crazy ass waste of money.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is what I would call, like, if this was on broadcast, that episode would have killed the show.
Right.
Would just have absolutely just, people would have left and never fucking come back. Like the whole fucking thing's in black and white, for fuck's sake.
For some reason.
Like, oh, it's nuts. But, oh man, it's so good.
It's good to know, because that was my fear actually for a long while.
It's not gonna go anywhere.
Or it's gonna like be like, oh, fourth season.
Or that one thing that you want to happen, that one thing that everyone wants to happen, is just never gonna happen. And No, it's time. It's time to go back. It's so good. That's pretty much it for my week.
Already.
So if that's like short week, also Wooly's not here.
You're also in his spot.
You'd
be like this.
I have to sit in his spot. Just imagine Wooly is invisible and on my lap.
Yeah.
And I'm just cool with that, I guess. So I guess we should go over to the news. But before we do that, I'm going to need to take a quick little break, because I drank like 10 cans of Red Bull because I was so nervous.
Okay.
All right. I'll be back with a hopefully not broken podcast. Hey, we're back.
Are we though?
Yeah, we're back. So I have to. Okay, so
to the aftermath.
Let's see what Wooly's notes tell me how to do this. Switch to people's scenes. I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
Switch to the news scene when I've done the week. Did the news? Oh, that's how the news. That's how he does it.
Let me see.
He's just got a thing there, and it's a second monitor.
Oh, this is looking behind the veil now.
This is, yeah, I can see it now. Okay, so then,
because usually the docket he writes, it's on like a bar napkin.
Yeah. So then, what I do,
and it usually just says fighting games,
is I click on this, right, and then I think of an interesting segue.
Yeah. You have to do this because you're looking at the list. So
yeah, I'm looking
first
at the list.
I could never guess.
So you know what would have been an interesting segue?
What would have been?
Actually getting the remainder of Half-Life 3. That would have been nice.
That's fun. That would have been nice.
That would have been pretty nice.
So take us through this.
So basically,
because I'm sure you've read this.
Oh, I
article.
Super read it. Basically Mark Laidlaw, who was the head writer over at Valve for many, many years, who recently left the company.
Yeah, I was about to say, didn't you?
And when he left the company, everybody who still cared about Half-Life on the internet went, oh, fuck.
Like, that's not good.
Because he seemed to be, aside from Gabe Newell, anyway, the last kind of holdout of original staff that could have possibly like stayed behind and done a fucking thing.
Doesn't mean like Doom 2016 came out with, I think, zero people that worked on like Doom 1 or 2, I assume. Possibly 3 is still there.
Yeah.
So it doesn't absolutely nail a Half-Life nail into the Half-Life coffin.
So before we actually get into this, actually Laidlaw came out after the shenanigans went on saying, hey, lots of alien scripts got thrown out.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean there's no Aliens franchise.
It is true.
And everyone said, shut up, Mark. So Mark just went ahead and went to a paste bin and changed some names around and basically put out like a several thousand word
right.
synopsis of everything that Half-Life 2 Episode 3 was going to be, as well as its ending and what was it going to be. And it was going to be going to the Arctic, finding the Polaris that was mentioned in Portal 2.
Okay.
And having a bunch of awesome running gun battles inside the Polaris that would be constantly portal shifting through time and space to different places.
I'm glad they canceled that.
And having running gun battles through like time portals.
That doesn't
like that.
Sound very interesting. So I'm glad it's never happening.
This is so depressing to me, man. So what's actually also depressing is that the ending was also straight up 100% going to be a cliffhanger.
To lead into,
and I don't know, you get the feeling that, like, these games were never supposed to have an ending, any of them. Like, no matter when these games were going to end or when they were going to stop making them, they would still end on a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Now, personally, I think the cliffhanger that this game would have ended on is a way better cliffhanger than the one the last one did. Because it's the difference between what are we going to do now in the next battle, like a Halo thing or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas the last one is, I'm about to be shot in the face.
Right. That's an actual cliffhanger.
And it's like, fucking... So if you want, you can go check out the paste bin. And there's two now. There's a write-up that has... There's a write-up that has all the bullshit names, like Cool Man... And Alec and shit
right. yeah,
with
yeah.
all the fucking fake ass names that Mark Laidlaw put in, or you can have one that somebody just copy pasted all
yeah,
the
exactly,
names
exactly.
into. Man, hats are so fucking I gotta organize my fucking thoughts on this.
But like, look down here in this article. It really sucks because it just puts it more in perspective. It's like Duke Nukem Forever came out. Beyond Good and Evil 2 will most likely
kind of come out.
Fucking like
the FF7 remake is happening.
It is happening.
Shenmue came out. It didn't come out, but it's gonna come.
Lost Guardian or whatever.
Last
Guardian, sure.
Like
these are the things that came out.
And
this most likely won't.
And it's like, well, I mean, Warcraft Adventures didn't come out. And StarCraft
yeah,
Ghost
but
didn't come
I
out.
Mean, to be fair.
But comparing Valve to Blizzard is actually the better example because they were both the PC game companies that just took...
Well, StarCraft Ghost never came out.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's like some of like Blizzard's projects, like those two you just mentioned, weren't they made both by outside companies? I'm not sure if Warcraft Adventures was, but Ghost certainly always was made by a third party.
Yes, Ghost was always made by shitty third parties. It sucked. Probably. I mean, the games were
good. I bet you that they didn't. I bet you they were fine.
I bet
but
they,
Blizzard
they
was
just,
like, it's not good
couldn't,
enough.
They couldn't deal with whatever Blizzard's internal standards control
yeah,
was.
Yeah.
And they're like, we have to ship a game, motherfuckers. We can't spend 8 years on this.
I don't know where that internal quality control was with the Warcraft movie, but it's there somewhere,
well,
I'm
that's
sure.
a movie. That's a
movie.
Different
that's
thing.
A different thing.
Seriously, though, what a bummer. Like, I blame many things on this.
What
I blame,
do you blame chiefly?
I blame Gabe Newell.
Okay.
That's
the go-to. That's
an easy one.
Yeah, yeah.
I blame everyone over at Valve that wanted to sign up for their fucking unorganized fucking everybody work on whatever fucking project they want. Goddamn
sort of mentality.
Structure.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's cool, but like, there should be always a core team that you got to do what
right?
we want.
I want to blame people, everyone who decided that the way the bonus payment structure over at Valve was going to work was that. Your bonus per year was going to be determined by the profits the game you were working on made, not as a company-wide thing, which means that if you're working and you got to support your family, you're working at Valve.
But I don't want to.
And you have a choice between a fucking couple of games. You can work on the Half-Life episode that may not come out. You can work on the CSGO update, which will come out for sure and makes tons of money.
Yeah.
Or you can make a bunch of Dota hats.
Yeah.
And Dota makes
what
a billion.
Portal?
What about Portal?
No, is that an option I can
no.
work on? No,
no,
okay.
It's not.
All right.
What are you
would
gonna
I pick?
What are you gonna fucking pick? You're gonna pick the one that makes you tons of money.
I picked the Dota hats.
Yeah, you picked the fucking Dota hats. That's free cash.
Right.
That's gambling for children. They love those
it's
fucking
easy.
Little sparkly
it's
things.
It's easy.
And it's like, well, how the that more? Oh, I am personally. I'm maybe a little more invested than I should be in this because I played that game and I had a lot of fun with it. But I think the reason why I'm actually like super pissed off and not just I didn't just let it go is that it's the kind of situation where it's you keep asking Gabe over the years.
Yeah, what does he say?
He says, we're working on something. It's like, you're not. And he stopped saying that a couple years ago, by the way.
So what, does he just stare blankly?
No, what the one that's like twisting the fucking knife in your heart is, do you remember Clang? That Kickstarter game that failed. It ran out of money. It succeeded its Kickstarter.
But the
prototype never got picked up, so it just
I don't know over. Clang.
So Clang was a sword fighting game. Okay. And it was I forget the guy's name. He's a bald guy. He looks like Kane from Nod. And he had this really nice Kickstarter pitch that all these developers, PC developers that are like, hey, you know, these guys are cool.
These guys are the best.
And he walks by Gabe Newell, and Gabe Newell is at a forge, and Gabe Newell is making a crowbar in the forge.
Right.
And he hits it 3 times, and that he's talking about possible delays with the Kickstarter, and then he looks over at Gabe, and Gabe holds up the molten crowbar and goes, these things take time. And that was like 2 years ago.
Okay.
And it's like, nothing is in development. This shit, like, God damn it. Just admit that the game's not going to happen.
The thing is that you can't, when you're like this, what did this come up with? This come up with a guy at Nintendo was asked, hey, well, Rhythm Heaven is dead. We're hearing it's dead. And he's like, it's not.
It's not dead.
I want to make more of those. Yeah. But there's nothing to announce. Because you're put in this position where if you say, we're not working on that at all, and we have no plans, you don't say that because people get angry and you want to leave that door open. But this has been going on so long that it's like, I'm not even going to open the door anymore.
When the fuck did Half-Life Episode 2 fucking come out?
2002?
Half-Life Episode 2. When the fuck did that happen?
Half-Life 2 Episode 2.
That came out exactly 10 years ago.
So
October of 2007.
Oh, wow. That's way. Okay.
Right.
That's not that bad because that's comparable to Last Guardian then.
Yes.
It can still happen.
But Sony was always adamant that no, this. I remember Shuhei Yoshida in interviews would be like, this game is going to come out.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter what happens, this game is going to come out.
That's more definitive than like banging fucking a crowbar 3 times.
And what makes this like extra like, oh, I don't think this is going to happen, is that like the timing on this is like would be like exactly 10 years after that plot synopsis got nailed down,
mm-hmm.
which screams like, well, the NDA ran out because and nothing's actually being made with it.
Right.
So like, hey, you're free to do this. And it's like, well, they're not going to use that fucking plot now. After it's out.
With this plot synopsis for episode 3, could someone make a Kickstarter just called Full Death?
Could they make a Kickstarter?
For a game called Full Death.
Could they do that?
That would look at the plot synopsis and then make Cool Guy and Alec just to give people something?
They could. In fact, there's a Half-Life 2 mod out right now.
Well, there's lots of that.
That
inputs
that takes some of the gameplay concept. It takes like beta ideas and like it's like this is as close as you're gonna get. Right, and it's still like.
Oh well, I'm sure it'll come. I'm sure it'll be announced in game magazines next week.
Which is worse, in game magazines or like when it's done, and then when it's done is never.
Okay, I hate when it's done.
Yeah,
I love next week in game magazines.
You love it.
Even if it's something I'm really anticipating, I'm like, oh come on, when's it coming out? If they say next week in game magazines, I'm like, that's hilarious. I hate when it's done.
It feels actually like condescending.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like it's like getting waved off.
It's like, no, shut up, peasant. It's done. You don't need that.
Yeah. Like, you can say what when is done, when it's done means, but in a different way. You're like, oh, well, we're working really hard.
We're looking at 2018 or 2019.
Yeah.
And we know that's really far away.
But that's all I can tell you.
And since that's very far away, it could get delayed because, you know, shit happens.
When it's done is like has an air of superiority over it.
That's fucking. And it was always done by fucking what's their names?
Wasn't it John Carmack?
It was the fucking id Software guys that would always do when John it's Carmack. Time. It was Carmack and and Romero.
Oh yeah, I remember yeah. that. When's Daikatana?
Daikatana's when's your bit? Wait.
When's your bitch?
Daikatana.
When's your bitch done?
When's Daikatana when you're a bitch?
When you're my bitch.
Yeah. Daikatana makes. Wait.
If you wake up and if you have a sign on your head that says John Romero's bitch, yeah. then you'll know that it's done.
When will I be Daikatana's bitch? When I'm done? And
John Romero's.
John, okay.
It
John
specifically asked you are a bitch that belongs to him.
Is that the kind of thing that if I could have gone to the office and become John Romero's bitch, that Daikatana would have come out?
You know what's even worse is that in the ad it says you are about to be John Romero's. It said about, so it's like implying that's going to be soon.
What a fucked up fucking ad! Like I'm gonna fucking attack you, motherfucker.
Did you read the thing where like I read like an interview with him like I don't know 5 years ago that said like I was totally against that PR thing. Like,
oh fuck you, John! You don't get to do that.
He was like it was like this smarmy PR guy that was like this will be awesome, and he's like I like it being aggressive, but I think this is too much.
You don't get to do that. You don't get to fucking roll that back fucking 10 years later or some bullshit. You put your fucking name on it. You told some marketing fuck that they could tell everybody that you were going to make the world your bitch, and now you want to roll it back because it's the most made fun of thing ever?
He was convinced.
Oh, yeah?
He was charmed, if you will, by this snake oil salesman.
He was seduced.
He was seduced to make everyone his bitch.
Oh, man. You know, it is a good idea. Man. I'm going
to... Gabe Newell's about to make
you
his
bitch.
I'm going to
do interviews at E3, and when the interviewer comes up to me, I'm going to grab them and go, I'm going to make you my bitch! Play Daikatana. Oh, man.
I just really love, like, Miyamoto just to be like, man, that robot sumo game that never came out, if it had, you would have all been my bitch.
Yeah, that's that. It's very Miyamoto of him.
That's good.
Oh, I had a segue, but it's gone. Hey, fuck it.
That's fine.
The Yakuza team. You know them?
No.
They're about to make you...
You know them well.
They're bitch, because they're making a billion fucking games right now.
Many, many big games for big men.
All of which
ladies.
Are super cool, good ideas.
These are good ideas.
So, we have Fist of the North Star, which is currently just called Fist of the North Star.
Oh, okay. Go through the list
We
first.
Got Yakuza Kiwami 2, which is
remake
Yakuza...
Extreme 2.
We have
remake.
Yakuza Online, which is a PC and mobile free-to-play game. And then there are hints of what they're just calling the next Yakuza game. And I think it's like I titled it in the fucking notes, Shin Yakuza, because that's a fucking thing I saw. They're making a shitload of games.
That's better.
And
be
guess
the name
what?
Of it.
They're honest about like these games are far away. One of these will come out a year. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we announced 3 or 4. So fuck
but that's
it.
How we roll. So. I looked at the video of Fist of the North Star and I was like looking at it and I didn't get much context for it. Someone threw the movie at me on Twitter and I look at it. I'm like, oh, it's like a re-release of like, I guess the Koei Tecmo. Mm-hmm. No, wait, that looks
colorful.
What? Why is he at a bar? And then it says like, and then the logo
the circle appears
and I'm like, that looks a lot like the Yakuza. And I click again to like, where's this going?
Yeah, because
like,
it's
oh,
called
shit.
Hokuto ga Gotoku. Gotoku. Which is very similar to Ryuga Gotoku, I think, which is like a dragon.
Yeah.
So this is Fist of the Dragon or
yeah,
some
that's
shit.
That's fine.
I think. That's, no.
No, whatever.
Ryu is the dragon in that. So this would be
Ryu means a lot of things,
like Hokuto.
What does Hokuto mean?
North Star. So it's like a North Star.
That's fine.
They should get
it's getting less fine as we talk
about
it.
They should get whatever, man. Like
it's yeah, whatever. Who cares? It looks awesome. And it's exactly what like everyone in the world wanted.
So I don't know if you've seen any of the Yakuza 6 stuff like with that new engine.
No.
It's very impressive.
Good.
And I think like, man, all you gotta do is have like it'll be more wide open, but like that formula, like that exact formula works perfectly for Fist of the North Star.
It does.
You go to missions. There's your side quest locations. It's got a good punchy, kicky combat system.
And here's the thing, though, is that what I want is like the Yakuza writing slide missions in the fucking Fist of the North Star
world. It's a perfect fit.
Because it's goofy. Like
Fist of the North Star alternates between
extreme seriousness and violence. And
ultra violence.
Yeah.
And absurd, goofy bullshit, like finding Kenshiro in a haystack,
or like Ken.
Yeah, that's in there. That's a real thing.
Yeah,
that's part of Hokuto no Ken.
You know, Kenshiro is constantly hungry, and when he looks at people, they turn into food.
Yeah,
you know.
But like, considering those are like, and it's like, it's, this is one of those things I never would have even thought of it. Right, you know, Platinum making a fucking Metal Gear game, you know. But it's perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah, it is perfect.
In tone, it's ideal. In gameplay, it's like, man, we played those fucking Fist of the North Star Warriors games.
And they got some dumb bullshit in them, bad. But they're bad at the end
only
of the
thing,
day.
The only thing that I like about either of them is the line, corpulent enemies require combo.
I like the drive in the motorcycle.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is that the writing in that is all terrible. Like most writing in...
it's the North Star. It's tough to make good writing around it's not
entertaining.
Yeah.
It's not entertaining writing at all. It's like, oh, there you are.
Fucking Ken. Over and over. Ken and Kiryu are like
the same guy.
They're very similar. They're both like hyper Japanese ideas of like a man.
Look the same almost.
I'm very excited. And I was talking to people about this, and it was pointed out to me that Jaggy could very easily have his Jaggy Anywhere system. Yes. Like, ideas that we saw before can very easily be transplanted.
I like the Rao's horse everywhere system.
The Rao's horse everywhere, just his horse? No Rao? No?
Dead.
Would Rao be Mr. Shakedown?
Rao or the horse.
The horse would be the Mr. Horsey
Shakedown.
It says
Fist of North Star takes place in Eden, a once flourishing entertainment district. It's like Kamurocho.
That's now the only place with a water source.
So, of course, everyone's out. Of course, there's bars with electricity.
So, it is super going to just... you know what? I should play this trailer.
Yeah, just...
So people can see that shit. How do I... Is that good? So...
It's good enough for now.
But it just looks great. Now, I'm taking a better look at it now. You're clearly in a city area. Like, they are very, very clearly taking a Kamurocho-style location and saying that, like, you're not going to be roaming the wastes a lot here.
I'm sure there might be a thing, but yeah, primarily you'd be in a city.
And you see Rei, and you see Shin, and, like, I can map those fucking characters to Fist of the North Star archetypes.
That's just the grand!
So, yeah, the weirdest part is where you see him in a bar... And it is just the Grand from Yakuza 0.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of weird god hand shit happens.
Yeah.
Also looks really good, I think. Like, one of the bigger problems I had with the Tecmo Koei games is that they had a really shitty use of color.
They also ran poorly.
Yeah. And you know the Yakuza series' way of, like, having giant flaming energy coming off people?
Yeah, that reminds me of something. Yeah, it reminds me of Fist of the North Star.
Yeah, it sure does, doesn't it? It sure fucking does. This is going to be awesome.
It's going to be very, very
awesome. Also, they got Yakuza Kiwami 2 coming out, which I am thrilled for. A lot more thrilled for than I am for Yakuza Kiwami 1, which is coming out tomorrow or today if you're listening to the podcast in audio form. Because this trailer is terrible, by the way. Like, it is literally Ryuji and him talking. Because Yakuza 2 is still the best Yakuza game. It has the best story and has the it added the most, like, to the formula.
I think,
but it's an old ass PS2 game now.
I think when we were doing Zero, we were even talking about, like, oh, if they remade it, I'm like, yeah, like, I started playing 2, but then, like, that was a heavy year for gaming, and I was like, I just got sidetracked, never got to play it again. And you were like, oh, that's a shame. It has the best story. And I was like, really?
Yes. A lot of it has to do with dealing with the Jingwon Korean mafia,
right,
who are bad fucking dudes. The reason why 2 is so exciting to me, for a lot of reasons, is not just because of its quality, is that 2 fucking bombed, man.
Yeah,
2 like got sent out to fucking die. I think they sent out like 50,000 copies.
Yeah,
total.
I couldn't find one for the longest time.
And then Sega was like, "Well, it doesn't sell." It's how the fuck is it supposed to sell? So the weirdest part about this Yakuza 2 Kiwami trailer is shots of Makoto from Yakuza 0.
Right.
Who is not in Yakuza 2
so
at all.
She must be added for fun.
So maybe it's also weird seeing a bunch of the Yakuza 2 characters being replaced with actors. Because they weren't in the original.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now, but now that's their thing.
But now they we need an old Japanese man.
And we have many of those.
His face needs to fucking be on this shit.
Check our old Japanese men Rolodex. You can get any of them. There's Date.
The Yakuza series gives me this feeling that Japanese acting is just dominated by 18-year-olds and 89-year-olds.
I think that's pretty apt.
So in the trailer, they go to the point of showing Kiryu getting attacked by those fucking tigers.
Yeah.
Because they know that's the best. That's the best moment that's ever been.
Finally, dragon versus tiger.
Just like in the Yakuza 1 Kiwami trailer, they showed off Kiryu just backhanding the shit out of Haruka, because that's one of the most defining moments of that series.
Oh, that's great.
Slapping that little kid in the fucking
face. I thought it was like knocking that door open and then that guy goes flying.
Oh, that's like the first thing that happens in the game. It's so funny.
I love that comparison video of those shots.
Oh, then, they're so identical?
The other one, the new PS4 one, doesn't look any better, really.
So on top of that, they're also, I have almost nothing on that goddamn Yakuza Online other than it is a mobile and free-to-play game
with
microtransactions. There is also the new protagonist of the Yakuza series, who is named Ichiban.
So there's Ichiban. Now, here's the thing with Ichiban is that I do not think the coolness of his illustration
matches his actual character
CG thing at all.
So he's supposed to have like wild crazy hair and it's like it's kind of flowing in a weird way. It's supposed to be demon
like. He looks like a crazy man.
His name is literally I'm Number One, which I actually like.
That is pretty
because it's so lame. It's so stupid.
Yeah,
like Kyoto's literally like the dragon. So fuck it. This guy's number one.
Yeah.
And he just kind of, he's got a, it's not quite an afro, I guess.
It's like a pulled out frizzy afro.
Yeah, it's afro-ish. Or it's an afro, but it's just the quality of his hair isn't what I expected.
And like his face doesn't convey meanness that much. It just kind of conveys like he's grimacing.
His afro is messier than I would have liked. Like it's not preen and primmed and proper. But more than that, I do like what they went with him. He is an inverted Kiryu.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So totally. His color scheme is the exact opposite of Kiryu's. He's got the same purple as the outsuit, and his undershirt is the gray. And he is messy where Kiryu is proper. He is he's very tan compared to Kiryu.
Mm-hmm.
And in the cutscene that they showed off where he shows up, Kiryu is nearly wordless like he always is, and this guy is just blabbing and blabbing and blabbing.
It'd be nice to, like, well, I mean, we got blabbing characters in, like, Yakuza 4 anyone where you switch characters, but, like, yeah. Because 6 is supposed to be the end of Kiryu's story, yeah?
6 is super the end of Kiryu's story, apparently. He's a dad now or some shit? There's a baby. He takes care of a baby.
Okay, so you have that, but you have that other piece of news with that survey?
So, I don't have the survey right now.
Wait, go down? Wait, go down? Is it right there?
What's the
survey? Reviews on the game. Okay, never mind. Survey. I just saw the word survey pop up, so I thought that was it.
So, I didn't think to actually find or put a link in it, and I'm an idiot. But, if you are on the internet,
which
you
most
probably
of you
are, you can go find a Yakuza survey based on these games asking you,
all of these games currently have no release date for America.
English speaking listener, which ones of these games would you like to play? And you should say all of them.
You should say all of them. If I could only pick one, though,
it would be
Fist
of the North Star.
It'd be Fist of the North Star because we're getting good Yakuza games.
I would say that. Yeah. Because Fist of the North Star needs a chance, dude.
Yeah, it does.
People need to give a fuck about that game. Or that series, which
when it's not in the narrow tunnel vision of a warrior,
it's weird because I'll shit all over Tecmo Koei for what they did to Hokuto no Ken, but they fucking did.
Don't forget Berserk. Shitty.
Very shitty. But they did Attack on Titan just fine.
And they did it great, yeah.
They did it just good. So
good Hyrule Warriors.
All right, so I do that, and then... Okay, yeah, I'm doing the podcast, guys. I'm doing
okay,
it.
Okay, but go to the survey and, like, yeah.
Yeah, seriously, go to the survey and, it's easy to find. And do a fucking thing so that we can get all of the video games. That's what we want.
All of the manly video games.
Hey, you want to hear about a video game that's not going to happen?
And absolutely.
I put it on the docket because I'm embarrassed that this became a fucking news article?
Absolutely.
What the fuck is Bethesda's Game of Thrones page doing on Target's website?
So you said this to me, and I thought you said that Bethesda shit / Game of Thrones, like apostrophe Game of Thrones. Yeah. I thought it was two separate things. I didn't know about this.
So a product page for Bethesda Game of Thrones appeared on Target's website. It is a placeholder page. It does not have any box art. Doesn't have any details whatsoever, and it has only appeared on Target. Like, this is supposed to be a leak.
Yeah.
In addition, even though everyone picked this up, Bethesda straight up turned down the Games of Thrones license in the past. Like, they rejected bids.
When did
for
that
it.
Happen?
I can click on that link.
Please,
I'd
like to see, because I'm interested about when
that happened. I should click on that. That happened in 2011.
That was before, when the show was just starting.
Yeah, so that's before it became super mega massive. I just killed the thing. I fucked it up.
You'll get it again.
Whatever. It doesn't actually matter. There's
not much to look
at. I'm straight up disappointed by everybody jumping on this, because this is like, it's not even an Amazon leak with like a fucking fake box or a price.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like a fucking mistake.
How could that possibly be a mistake? It might be.
I don't know. It just seemed like, because I thought
so many games have leaked this way.
I thought about it on the way over here, and it's like, I feel like Game of Thrones is a terrible setting for a Bethesda open world RPG.
It doesn't necessarily have to be an open world. Like, that's what you'd assume, but
like,
I think it would be good to, because look,
how many bandits can you kill?
There's three Game of Thrones games, right? There's the Telltale one, doesn't really count because A, it wasn't that great, and B, I think that's like not the most optimal way to experience everything, like, you know, that universe can bring. Then there was the shitty game that we played.
Oh boy.
The bad action, whatever. Nah,
that
action
game was great. What are you talking about?
But it had nothing that what people would want Game of Thrones. Like, it had two characters, and Mormont and Cersei, and that was it. And then there was that weird RTS one that came out, I think, even before. Yeah. There was some weird other one.
About that.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
I would love an action thing. Yeah, killing bandits, that would be the main one. But I want Game of Thrones to have another shot,
like,
in the video game space.
Would it take place in the north, and you, like, White Walkers would be your primary monster enemy?
Why not? Why not bounce around between? You know what I'd like? If I would love the fucking Game of Thrones PS2
action like games. Two Towers style.
Two Towers, and then have big elaborate cutscenes.
No, I'm thinking about it. Like, you know what it would do? It would take place in one of the fucking prequel universes that they're talking about with HBO.
Or that.
Where magic is more of a thing stuff like that. Okay, maybe it's real. I'm flip-flopping.
It might not be, because usually if it's Amazon, then it's 100%
locked. Oh, yeah, Amazon always fucks up.
Target has, I remember some games being like, yeah, Target thing. Because there's no way that's a mistake. There's no way someone wrote Bethesda Game of Thrones.
What's a Target? Is that that fucking company that fucking pulled out and fucked everyone in this country?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because no one bought any stuff there.
It was a shithole.
No, it was good. It's that all the prices were bad.
And they had nothing on the shelves.
Yeah, the one that we had nothing on the shelves.
Yeah, it was fucking awful.
Unfortunately, every time I go to Target in America, I'm like, yes!
Well, it's always... That's the nature of shopping in America. You go, yeah!
I just jump up sick in the air. Look at this cereal!
I want to know if you said yeah about this next piece of news.
Oh.
Which is Minot was announced for Street Fighter V.
Well, no, because I knew about her like 6 months ago.
Yeah, but you didn't know about what she looked like.
No. She's shown in someone's story ending.
Yeah, but you didn't know how she played.
Sure. I like her. I think she's cool. I like her story costume way better than the default.
Yes.
Default's fine.
That is becoming a recurring trend with a lot of these Street Fighter characters.
The only thing is that I don't like how her hair is so close to her clothes color because it makes it feel like she's wearing a strange hat. Oh,
I fucking fucked it up.
What?
Oh, I fucked it all up. Hold on. Okay. I got to change it back to news.
Okay.
There, now we're at news. There. Oh, my God. I'm bad at this. Here we go.
Her regular outfit just makes it look like she has a weird little helmet on at first, and she doesn't. It's hair. But I'm just like, you could have just made it a different
shape. I really don't like her at all.
You really don't,
I think she looks like she's from a mobile game. Like, I find her design to be just, like, anti-iconic. Like, she looks like a MOBA character.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know. Also, man, is she ever just Rose and Viola combined in one person?
Do you know why?
Why is that?
Because she's Rose and Viola combined in one person.
That's why.
She's literally Rose's apprentice or something.
Yeah, but it's like the ball attacks is like incredibly like Viola from Soul Cal 5. I think her fighting style is... I mean, I'm going to hate it personally, but...
I wouldn't really use it, but I think it's neat.
It's a nice combination of like Viola and like Eddie. No, not Eddie. Venom.
No.
Venom with the balls. We're placing the balls all over.
Yeah.
And Street Fighter sure as fuck did not have that fucking archetype so far.
No.
So it's a genuinely new character. But like compared to like Rashid or Fang or God, most of the newcomers.
So yeah, like her.
Yeah, her story
costume's
way better.
Yeah, it's like it looks a lot like Sadira from Killer Instinct.
But yeah, of the newcomers so far, like I think she's like probably the worst.
Really,
I can't. She's so boring, man. And she's like, you know what? I look at her and see, I see a boringer Eliza from Skullgirls.
Mm. Yeah, Eliza's way
the
more
Egypt
crazy.
Thing and the hair and all that stuff. Now, since Wooly's not here to defend his short-haired Street Fighter maiden, we can fully say what we really feel,
okay.
Which is, I don't know.
I've
her animations are really cool, and I like that she does little dances during stuff.
I have no problem with her. Like, I think I'm a bit cooler on Colin than her.
Like, she makes me like Abigail way more.
Well, Abigail's personality, you know, personified.
He's so fucking... He's so stupid. But I like it.
When Abigail came out, I finally booted up, like, Street Fighter V since Alex came out.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at the massive amount of money I had to spend for, like... You know, obviously, if you use fight money, you mm-hmm. can get some stuff. But I'm like, all these stages are so fucking expensive. That's the one thing that got me. The stages were way too expensive.
Yeah.
That was the only thing. But yeah. I got them all because I liked them.
I feel really bad because I feel like, for me personally, like SF5, like I've passed it, right?
Yeah.
Like, because now when I think about fighting games, I think about, man, that DBZ game looks really good.
Or I should go back to that Guilty Gear game again.
Yeah, and it's just... It makes me
Tekken.
Yeah. And it's like, I love Street Fighter so much, but like the way that everything around Street Fighter V that wasn't the core gameplay was handled is just so disappointing. It feels very similar
to,
but not nearly as bad as what's happening with Marvel Infinite, where it's like Marvel Infinite seems to play really well.
Everyone that gets to actually sit down and play is like,
oh
no,
yeah,
it's
totally.
Good, it's
and the gem system, the Infinity Stone system, is super cool and interesting, but like, man, that roster, man, those characters. Ooh.
You saw, I'm not sure if you ever talked about it. You saw like Tekken 7 outsold, like sold the same or like slightly more than Street Fighter 5 has in totality.
Okay. Yeah.
Like in a week or something, or a month, I would say. In a month and like more so than in a year. And like, I think we talked about this since Willie's not here to like yell at me. I think we talked about this where I was like, I still really feel that Street Fighter V came out way too soon after Ultra Street Fighter 4, especially on Ultra Street Fighter 4 on PS4.
Well, the real problem was like it was competing. Like Ultra came out, 6 months beforehand?
Yeah, I think so.
And it's like Ultra was like 5-6 years of built up content.
Yeah.
Versus the new one that has like very little by comparison.
Yeah, so... I just kind of felt like people were like, we've had Street Fighter for a while. It's not like it went away. And like, I would say like before they announced it, I was like, probably should have waited 2 more years. Like, I know it's like, we need to make money for the fiscal quarter and we need to be at Evo, blah, 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 blah. But like, you're Capcom. You're not going to.
The market has spoken. Put an arcade mode in your fighting game.
Like, and when did Tekken 6 came out?
Bloodline Rebellion came out like on the
on consoles
on the PS3 and like I want to say like 2007, 2008.
Really? Because Tekken Tag 2 came out.
No, that can't
between,
be right.
That's a Tekken Tag 2 came out in between Tekken 6 and 7, but I still feel that there's this fervor of Tekken. Like, we haven't got a proper Tekken in a long
2009, time. 2009.
Tekken 6.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It was 8 years between Tekken 6 and 7.
You know how GTAs come out once every 6-7 years?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's where you sell
and fucking,
a lot.
Like, Tekken 7 has, like, an orgy of content. Like, there's so much fucking shit in there.
I haven't even gotten to, like, any of it.
Yeah, I know. Because like, I just go play versus matches with King, and it's just like, man, love King.
Like, we're talking about it now. I'm like, I should leave
and go play,
and go
Tekken.
Play Tekken 7.
Yeah.
I really haven't gotten into it that much.
It's fucking great.
So,
boy,
yeah.
I love that Tekken 7. So, Minot's revealed for Street Fighter V, if you're still playing it. She's around.
There's still one more character to go.
Hopefully, it's Abigail, too.
It's Abigail 2.
Yeah, an even bigger, grosser Abigail. Yeah.
Dude, that's the thing, is that you say that, but they, you can totally do that with the Andore family.
Oh, totally.
There's G Andore. They have actual different names and suffixes and shit. So you could say Abigail 2. Sure, why not? G Abigail. Shin Abigail.
So speaking of big and gross, if you want it and you want to play FF15 on the PC... you can totally get your goddamn Naked Gladio mod off the Steam Workshop.
I love how no one's talking. Like, Cindy,
get the fuck out of here, Cindy!
Noctis, nah.
You're getting in the way of my beef.
It's that Gladi.
Maybe Ignis.
Maybe Ignis.
Depending on your taste, I guess. So
Naked Chocobos.
Final Fantasy 15 has been announced for PC, and yada, yada, yada. And they fucked up and said it requires 170 gigs to install.
That's
which
big.
Is super wrong. And they walk that back. But it's also going to have extensive Steam Workshop mod support, which is, oh, that's really cool. That game could do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And when asked about, what about making those characters naked? They responded with, we are leaving the nude mods to the moral sense of players.
I think they said, we don't like that, but what we won't do is stop you.
Yes, we understand that the
we understand this game that we purposely made it to be a bunch of sexy boys.
Yes.
We understand this.
All right, here's the quote.
Oh.
When we were getting together for discussion, all the people together in the project were airing out their worries. Nude mods,
yeah, I bet they
were something most people were really worried about. What's stronger in my mind is the fact that I don't want to limit people too much. This is part of culture of gaming these days. These people, it's a thing they've bought.
You like
it's,
your naked
it's,
polygons.
It's their game now.
Oh, no,
I don't.
Good. I like that.
I don't think it's a good thing, but we're going to leave it to the moral sense of all the players out there. I basically want, as a principle, to give as much freedom and as little limitation as possible.
You
now,
know.
While this is a really stupid thing that they had to talk about, and I think it's really hilarious, but because nothing... Because
you're forced to talk
well,
about
nothing,
it.
Well, nothing anyone... Nothing they could have done could have possibly stopped these nude mods. Like, there's no way. Like, people are going to see their fucking Gladios in Promptos and in Source Filmmaker, and it can't be stopped, right? I do actually genuinely appreciate the statement of, well, you guys bought it, right? It's your game now. You can do whatever you want with it. Which seems to be an attitude sorely lacking from a lot of developers
nowadays.
Especially
Japanese.
There's a real feeling of, like, I don't know, Lucasing it. Of like, no, this is my baby. Mm. It's going to be how I want it. Mm. So that's nice. Also, this is really weird. And I'm not sure where it came from. And I'm not sure why it's always Assassin's Creed. But FF15 is also getting an Assassin's Creed crossover.
Event. Happens in a few days, I think.
Yeah. You're going to play as an assassin in the goddamn... fucking FF15 engine,
but it's like a town where they love assassins.
Yeah,
and that's it.
And it's you're not playing as an assassin. You're dressing up as an assassin, and it's that fucking weird Mookul Chocobo Festival shit.
Yeah,
it's apparently gonna be limited time. So if you care, check it out. I guess Why is it always Assassin's Creed? Why is Ubisoft so into this?
I think it's because it does have a lot of
And it's always between these two companies, too. It's,
well, because they own... Yeah. No, they don't. I was somehow thinking that Ubisoft was Eidos for a second, you know? But yeah, when
they are.
Ubisoft is Eidos?
Aren't they?
No.
Aren't they?
Square Enix owns Eidos. So when there's Tomb Raider shit, like remember when Lightning dressed up as Lara Croft? And
remember when
Squall?
Remember when there was
Squall
Dead Space Man armor in Dragon Age?
No.
Yeah, you do.
Remember when Lightning wore Mass Effect shit?
Yes. That was real. Someone sent me to that when I was confused about this shit.
Yeah.
Remember when Snake dressed up like the assassin? See, that one I actually remember because it made sense because that looked cool in the area of the time.
Because, it made sense.
But,
do you know the cosplayer Leon that always cosplays Gladio? He's a super buff Mega Man.
Yeah, I've seen, yeah.
You see his Jin Kazama cosplay?
Yeah, I saw
it. You saw that?
Yeah, I saw it. You saw my phone.
You see his face?
Yeah, I saw it. I seen it. Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I seen it.
All right.
That's good. FF15 continues to be... Oh, you know what? I forgot to fucking put it in here. But there was it's also about FF15, in which Tabata says that in the story updates for the game, they're interested in making Lunafreya stronger female character than before. And it's like, that bitch is in the game for 12 minutes, motherfucker. You fucking stupid lying asshole. She is not even a character.
Well, they want to expand upon
her. The way they talked about that fucking game story about how, like, oh, you won't need to watch Kingsglaive too. Like, you should probably watch Kingsglaive because there's no story in the fucking game. Yeah. Like, is absolutely... Ugh. Guys!
Well said.
Matt, you didn't play 15. There's a character...
I played a few.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you didn't beat it. There's a character that goes from evil guy to face and, like, redemptive arc. But the cutscene or... explanation for why that happens is not in the game.
Oh, but it's in?
So...
Kingsglaive?
No.
It's not in anything?
No, it's just nowhere. So, like, you meet up with the guy, and you're, like, gonna fight him, and he's like, I'm gonna help you out, because I'm a good guy now.
Okay.
And the characters go, what? And then that's the last time you ever see that character.
Sounds like Baby Driver.
Oh, yeah?
Characters just change allegiances for no reason.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's always a good way to make your story, to have characters act irrationally for no reason.
Yeah.
It's always my fucking favorite character trope. God damn it.
That Assassin's Creed thing is kind of neat. The only thing I'd say that I'm like, is that they're all wearing Assassin's Creed 1 garb, which is strange. I thought they'd like make their own and make it like a weird mix of Final Fantasy 15's like costume department and Assassin's Creed. But it looks kind of plain. Like, we've seen such elaborate fucking Assassin's Creed uniforms, Ezio and the like. So it just
kind of like you always go back to the plain Altair set.
That set was strange.
Well, it's funny that you mention
Altair.
Murderous people who wear costumes.
I do. Yeah.
Because there was a recent incident down in the wrestling that Matt, you alerted me about,
and you were like, this shit's crazy,
this shit's nuts, this is going in.
Sometimes
you work yourself into a shoot
and you don't want that.
So you want to walk me down on this, actually, because you actually seem to know more about it than I do.
So at a AAA event in Mexico, I believe it took place in Mexico, sexy star who prominently stars in Lucha Underground as well. A lot of people that star in Lucha Underground star for all types of promotions. They can just do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Was in a match with Rosemary, who used to be in TNA, I believe. Mm-hmm. And Sexy Star put Rosemary into an arm bar and like then started to like really torque her arm to the point where it's like, well, I'm going to dislocate your shoulder
went
now.
Went from a work arm bar into a shoot arm bar.
Now, if Seth Rollins or someone does some high-impact move, you never know exactly, maybe at all times.
Well, you fuck it up by a centimeter. It's
by a centimeter. Yeah. Like, people get hurt all the time. But it's hard to fuck up a submission because it only happens if you know exactly the amount of pressure you're putting on what angle.
I've decided to put on my full strength on this thing that's not
supposed
to hurt.
I have to go beyond. and dislocated Rosemary's shoulder, and then just in the back, it was like, what the fuck? My shoulder's dislocated. And she apparently mumbled an apology. Like, no, not even that. Just mumbled and made excuses or whatever.
Some bullshit.
Everyone in the locker room was like, what the fuck was that?
Yes, the wrestling world is afire with the feeling of, what the fuck?
So
why did you intend to injure your match partner?
In a thing that could not be seen otherwise, and you knew exactly what you were doing.
Yeah.
So apparently Rosemary didn't say anything about this because she was like recuperating in the hospital, whatever. Then she heard how Sexy Star was telling people, oh, it's a work. It's not real. She didn't actually get hurt. Don't worry about it.
And then
it's
she
just
has to come out and go like, no, my shoulder's super fucked up.
Yeah, and just basically I called her out like, what the fuck was this? Like, I can't believe it, blah, blah, blah. So this is very strange because our exposure to Sexy Star is Sexy Star.
She's pushed as a massive face in like, Lucha Underground.
Goody Two Shoes. Everyone use the power of positivity. You can do anything.
Even though apparently she's a super evil heel everywhere else.
Really? I
yes,
didn't know that part.
I was told that she's a super evil heel in AAA.
Huh.
Someone may have lied to me. I'm sure I'll be wrong.
How
in
do
a
you become a super super fucking evil heel with your name as Sexy Star?
I don't know.
It's
man.
Like, I don't know. That's. So the other weird thing
well,
is
she's
that
a big fucking heel for
now,
real.
Now, the weird thing is that I said I was watching Lucha Underground season 2, and like Sexy Star comes out, I'm like, oh boy, here we go. She's a decent wrestler or whatever.
She's good. Yeah.
And then she has the No Mas match.
Yeah, No Mas
with
is
Mariposa.
A great match. It's a great fucking
and she
match.
She goes fucking mental in that, just batters Mariposa all over the place, and it's an awesome match. And then when the, like, basically a No Mas match is an I Quit match.
Yeah.
And then, like, towards the end, she's all bloody and beat up. And then the fucking ref gives her the mic and says, what do you say, Sexy Star? And she goes, fuck you!
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Great. It's great.
So I thought it was really funny after seeing that match just, like, a week ago. And this goes into this. I was like, huh, I see. Maybe not as face as Lucha Underground.
So
you know,
before you get your wrestling action figure, make sure that they are not a serial murderer or maybe a big piece of shit.
Yeah.
So everybody out there with their shrine to Hardcore Holly, remember.
I don't think he's dead. Crash Holly's dead.
You can still have a shrine to him.
You can still have a shrine to anyone.
Lots
you
of
lie.
People have shrines to living people.
Yeah. So that kind of
Wooly's
sucks.
Got that shrine.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about that.
No, hell
he
no.
Has that shrine to his action figure of Giant that had the neck cast on.
Jesus Christ, that's so
it's so specific and weird.
Like, that's a joke about Wooly for Wooly when Wooly's not here.
Yeah.
That's stupid. That's a good joke.
I saw that in his action figure collection. I was like, why do you have...
Oh, wait, he really has that?
How is that a joke? And why, like,
he has an action figure of Giant with the neck cast on.
So when I was digging through his action figures at his old place, because we're going to do that video where we're playing with action figures, I'm looking through them. I'm like, yeah, there's nothing really. And I go, why do you have an action figure of the Giant from WCW where he spent so long wearing a neck cast after getting powerbombed? I think, I don't know. How come you have that one? What was it about that this action figure of the Giant with a neck cast on that Wooly said, yes, you know what? Yeah.
That's what I want.
That's that I need it with the neck cast.
I don't think when that was...
I don't want one with
I,
no neck cast.
I don't
cast.
Think when that was, like, relevant or timely that he... Like, because what like when we got older is when we started to appreciate dumb bullshit for dumb bullshit reasons.
Yes.
When you were, like, 15, you didn't like things because they were dumb bullshit. You liked them because you thought they were cool, but
yeah.
They were dumb bullshit. So why did he think that was cool?
No, he has it since he was a kid, I believe.
Yeah, but why did he think it was cool when he was
a
kid?
Oh, because I would never... At that age, I would never think that was cool.
Oh, yeah, my hero's injured. Fuck yeah. That's the shit.
But aside from the creepiness of having the action figure, who greenlit that action figure? Like, this guy
well,
was
Giant
in a neck
did.
Brace. Nah, I don't think he has control over it. But, like, this guy was in a neck brace for so long, we have to have this variant story costume.
We need it. It's important.
It's important.
It's so important, guys, that Like, that's like, oh, man.
Oh, man.
That's like if
terrible news.
I can't even think of a fucking example that comes to us.
Because, you know, when you get, like, a Batman or a Wolverine, it's like Wolverine, like, knight ninja action. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, whatever. He needs that for his mission. Batman needs to have underwater armor because he's going to do some bullshit in the fucking ocean or whatever it is. It's important. But why giant with neck brace?
Why?
And you couldn't take it off either.
Why giant with neck brace?
Why so much neck brace made for giant now?
Because his neck is fucking big. It needs a big brace for a long time.
All right, what else we got?
Hey, you know what else has been a long time coming?
What's that?
This fucking awful looking Secret of Mana remake. Just, it looks bad, dude.
Well, what sucks is that you're resting on the screenshot of like this dumb griffin monster that has a Protag's haircut.
Yeah.
It looks pretty silly. But I like Secret Mana good enough.
I think everybody likes Secret of Mana. Mana. Whatever the fuck.
Mana.
But like, I don't know, man. This art looks super. It looks like World of Final Fantasy.
It's very basic. I'll give it that. It's not a particular
looker.
And
the English voice acting.
And it's coming
out
on the PlayStation 4, for fuck's sake.
And, well, it's also coming out on the Vita, apparently.
So that's why it looks like this.
Yeah, so thanks, Vita.
Ruining games.
Yeah, ruining games. Until it gets canceled.
And look, there's lots of time to cancel the Vita version.
So my favorite part about this is that they're going to cancel that. They're going to cancel that Vita version, but the game's still going to be ruined because it touched it. It's going to be fucking like, ew, I touched the Vita.
You know what? It's not going to be canceled in Japan.
I'm such a dick. I love it.
Like, it's gonna come out for sure in the Vita in Japan. But yeah. Like, if they localize this, they'll not.
This art, like this World of Final Fantasy looking art and like the general thing makes me feel like Square Enix is like, let's trick people and make them think this is a Dragon Quest spinoff.
I mean, yeah.
Because they're too old.
It'd be better to trick people
shit.
If it was called Dragon Quest and not Secret of Mana.
That's a good fucking trick to play.
Yeah.
They should call it Dragon Quest Secret of Mana. They used to do with
Secret of Dragon
like
Quest.
Like they
Mana.
Used to do in the back in the day when they called Secret of Mana Legend of Mana game, whatever the fuck it was.
No,
what was it called?
Final Fantasy Legends, they called it Secret of Mana.
No, it was the opposite. It was bad Secret of Mana Game Boy games that they called Final Fantasy Legends on the GBA or Game Boy.
Yeah. But whatever. It reminds me of that age where Square Enix was making all those DS remakes of like Final Fantasy like 4, mm-hmm. 5 and shit. And I like those games enough.
Hey, so we've been trying to get a hold of Death Cargo for a while.
And we failed.
We've horribly failed. Luckily someone else didn't.
No, yeah. To be fair, me and Wooly tried maybe like 3 years ago. Yeah. We couldn't find it.
So Kotaku has this really good article about how these stupid idiots over at Super Best Friends Play.
Yeah.
Found.
His channel is dying.
Yeah, it's a piece of shit. I hate those motherfuckers. I hear the tall ones just the worst. Did I do the thing right?
I did it. It looks like you.
And how they found this incredibly obscure fighting game that no one has ever been able to get a hold of, including the. I can't move this. Including the developers. So probably.
I have a question.
We finally got it, the group said, introducing their playthrough. But how?
Thanks to the 8 or 12 people who finally braved the Russian dark web.
That's a quote I never thought I would see emblazoned on a webpage.
Said incredibly unattractive Matt Mimbusles.
Oh, no, it does. No, it doesn't say that. Oh, and they're using clips from our video.
Is it really?
I don't know, man.
I don't remember that stage,
dude. Remember that stage. Yeah, they just
that stage looks awesome.
And then they go into it, blah, 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 blah. So once this happened, once that article came out, there seemed to be a flurry of Death Cargo news around the internet. Most specifically, links to the new website or whatever the fuck it was saying, no. Fucking Death Cargo is shit and dead.
Oh, it's bad.
It's all about Gorebreaker now.
There is a new game called Gorebreaker.
It's all about Gorebreaker. So, I would actually like to pull up an email early. That we got about this news topic.
Yeah, someone emailed us to give us more information.
I super I totally clicked on it. There
take
it is.
Take your time. Take your time.
So we got an email at superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
That's superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
Let me check, make sure I don't have the emails open. Great. From a Mr. Wilmar.
Cool.
Who is NecroStorm sales and contact manager.
NecroStorm, our good friends at NecroStorm.
So there's a bunch of super fun things
that were said
in this email.
Yeah.
And I'm going to read it because it's got some news. We want to thank you for your exposure regarding the abandoned game Death Cargo. Considering Debt Cargo is out of market since 2015, and it's going to be replaced with another different game called Gore Breaker, already approved in a beta stage by ID at Xbox, we would be glad to provide you with a copy once it's released. That's because every Death Cargo customer will receive a free copy of Gore Breaker. And that's something that they put out. Like, the logic on this is so baffling. They're like, we're embarrassed by Death Cargo, so everybody gets free
Gore
Breaker.
Why are you fucking embarrassed? Don't be embarrassed by that.
No, it's awesome. Put it out. We know you just downloaded a pirated version of Death Cargo, but we would be glad to give you guys an exception.
That's not true.
And then offers some kind words and says contact him if we have any other information. So we will definitely follow up that shit for Gore Breaker when that shit is in a playable state. That being said, I think Wooly does have a physical copy coming in the mail.
Yeah, he did mention that because that was when it was like, oh, let me try that in case.
Off of eBay.
So hey, Pat.
Yeah?
I have a follow-up email to that email.
Oh, yeah. Also, that company showed up on our subreddit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they also sent us a private message on YouTube, and it's pretty different to what you just read.
Oh, yeah.
Out.
What do you got?
So, thank you sincerely for sharing our game Death Cargo with your community. As previously announced in 2015, we are absolutely 100% not happy with Death Cargo at all, and we consider it a failure. That's why we removed it from the market. Death Cargo is going to be replaced with a much better, gorier game called Gore Breaker. Gore Breaker is going to be a side-scroller with RPG elements. From Death Cargo, we only kept the story, the soundtrack, the characters, and the ultra vibe. We replaced all the graphics with, quote-unquote, handmade animations, and of course created actual gameplay.
What?
Gore Breaker Beta, this is where it gets
we
more
We have created actual gameplay?
Gore Breaker Beta was, of course, approved by ID at Xbox, like you said, and for Windows 10 and Xbox One in 2018. As previously announced on our official channels, all Death Cargo customers will receive the Gore Breaker, blah, blah, blah. So there you go. That's a little bit more insight. It will be a scrolling RPG.
So there, if you look up Gore Breaker, by the way, you can go and find a video. By the way, we fucked up all over. It's not Russian. It's Italian. You can find a video of some of the cutscenes or story shit from Gore Breaker are out there, and they are ridiculous.
So about a year ago, I remember actually looking this up and seeing Gore Breaker and stuff, and I had completely forgotten about it. So when all this news and these messages popped up, I was like, what? That sounds vaguely familiar. And I was like, oh shit, yeah, it is true. I do remember some sort of thing where on their Facebook, because I was like, we need to play Death Cargo on not Saturday Morning Scrub Lords. That was a mistake. It should have been a Friday Night Fisticuffs.
Yeah, we're not perfect, guys. We make mistakes.
Unlike Gore Breaker. Unlike fucking Death Cargo.
Gore Breaker.
I'm super happy we're living in this universe, in this timeline. Because this is amazing. This is such a great band of time to be living in right now. I mean, in terms of fighting games, everywhere else is pretty shit. Generally,
you know what's not pretty shit?
What's that?
Something that you were very interested in and sent my way: the fact that White Day is getting a sequel,
which is very
named
Swan Song.
What named? Oh, let me do the thing. Named White Day 2 Swan Song.
I like that logo.
Now it's important to note that. The logo's an evil swan. It's important to note that there was
Death Day.
There was a Death Cargo White Day sequel already had been announced back in 2016, but that was supposed to be a VR game.
Yeah.
And fucking was mentioned once and then disappeared.
Fuck that. That's fine.
And now they're back saying, fuck that. It's not a VR game anymore.
It's a full on like
It's a full on regular video game, and it should
Swan Song is a numbered sequel that doesn't require VR to play.
Should be coming out in 2018. Not all that much aside from that.
What I do have to say though is that playing through a good portion of the White Day remake, there is a lot of cut content that was never in White Day 1. Like there's optional ghosts that you have to do things, certain things to trigger that are not part of the main storyline. And like I saw a video compilation of some of these, and some of them were absolutely horrible, like in a good way, where I was like, holy shit, I completely missed this monster or whatever, this ghost. And like that was a really good remake, and I want to see like all new assets made and like a new, like I'm interested in White Day 2, I'll tell you that much.
Well, I was interested in White Day 1, so I'm glad that I'm glad that this like obscure Korean horror franchise is going to get to continue.
And they want it to be like the new Asian like horror like series.
There's room.
There's a lot of room actually if you think about it. I mean, Resident Evil is barely Japanese anymore.
Did you say room or rune?
I said room.
But I meant rune because that's the worst segue we've ever had.
There's a bit of charm in
that's
there.
That's the worst segue we've ever had. So Human Head Studios,
which we assumed were dead
because they got killed by Bethesda, has announced Rune Ragnarok, which is going to be an open world RPG.
Rune was a series that they started back in the early aughts. They had a PS2 like God of War type action game called Rune.
Yeah, back in Viking 2000, Warlords, like old.
And this is an open world RPG with brutal melee combat. You choose a deity of one of the Norse.
We got an announced
deities.
Trailer here. I doubt it's going to have anything in it. It has stuff.
It has in-game
shit,
battle shit. And I'm happy for Human Head because
I was very
when
much under
Bethesda
the impression they were dead.
Fucking fucked them over, and then the last thing I knew that they made was a decent, if unremarkable, iOS horror game. Mm-hmm. Evil Without has a generic title like that. I'm glad that they're making this big thing, and I'm down for fucking Viking anything really.
Yeah, Vikings are hot now. We got Senua. We got God of War. We got this.
There's
stuff.
A million TV shows about Vikings.
Vikings are cool, man. But seriously, this to me is like less about the game and more about like, oh, Human Head survived.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
But this publisher is CSDF. It's some sort of money like based like
money
fund.
Money
no,
fund.
It's not so much more a publisher, but it seems like some sort of fund that just funds games to be like. Like almost like a lifeline saying, hey, we'll just give you money.
Do you want some money?
We'll make sure your thing comes out, but that's it. We're not even a publisher, really.
I'm a money fund, and I want some money.
Do you possibly have enough funds?
No.
For all this money?
Wait, do you have enough funds for the money? You have to have money to get money.
Your money is all that money's.
Well, you know what money isn't all that money's?
What's that?
Darkwood's monies, because Darkwood's developer, Darkwood is an indie horror game, by the way. Darkwood's developers have decided, we feel bad that people have to refund the game or can't buy it in their region.
Or don't want to use Steam, like even that.
Or they're poor or what have you. So they have decided to, also the game's also on GOG and Humble Store. So... here you go. It's up on Pirate Bay.
We're just throwing it out there.
Throwing it up there.
We don't care.
Let's see. Let's read the quote. Steam lets you refund a game if you haven't played it for more than 2 hours, and as a developer, we can see the reason why people refunded it. When we read the explanation from somebody who wrote that he needed the refund because he didn't want his parents to be stressed out when seeing the bill at the end of the month, well, it made us feel quite bad.
So that's not about the fucking quality of the game at all.
So we decided to do something about it. If you don't have the money and want to play the game,
if you don't have funds,
a safe torrent on Pirate Bay. There's no catch, no added pirate hats, or anything like that.
DRM.
Just have one request. If you like Darkwood and you want us to keep making games, please buy it, or maybe on a sale.
And, yeah, and, that's you know, that's the key thing. Get it on a sale, then.
I think this is...
like, use this as a demo.
I think this is laudable. Like I think this is...
I don't think everyone can or should do this,
I think
though.
This is very, very risky, and I worry. This game is good. I can confirm that this game is quite good somehow. I don't know why I would have played it, but I'm just saying that I played that exact version of the game, and it's quite good. Very spooky. Very scary, even.
I don't see why they could have just made like a 2-hour demo.
That takes considerable development resources.
It does. It's true.
You'd have to put something on it. And also Steam. I find Steam's demo shit so weird.
I didn't even know that there was
demo. There is demo stuff on Steam, but it's very odd. Hopefully that works out. But if it doesn't, at the very least, the game's name, like, this is an advertising thing as well, right?
Yeah.
You get a news article out of this for sure. Like, we're talking about it on the podcast right now because it's so nuts.
I didn't know we were going to bring it up on the podcast today, but I saw this news pop up on, like, some reputable site, and I was like, oh, shit, wow, that's big news then.
So
who does this?
This reminds me a lot, but this is even farther than when Hotline Miami 2, Devolver.
Yeah, what was that?
They couldn't sell the game in Australia.
Right.
And Devolver was like, hey, if you're in Australia, fucking steal this shit!
We don't care.
We don't give a fuck. You can't buy it anyway. And everyone's like, yeah.
That's the best.
And they're like, don't steal anything else. Just this one, because Australia.
And even though we said the game is good, for people that don't know, Darkwood on Steam currently is at overall very positive. 94% of everyone gave it a positive.
That sounds like a high-quality video game.
Yeah.
If
you guys are familiar with Sunless Sea,
yeah, it's
that type of style of game, but you're like basically stuck in the woods and there's monsters. So.
Yeah. We can vouch to play it a little bit of it, and it's a lot of fun. Very spooky, super hard, but maybe that's just that because I'm bad at it.
Well, no, I think it's also that genre of hardness.
Well, we did it, Matt. We got through the news. Now, of course, what is it? It's fucking
it's 2:3.
It's 2:49 on... it's a Monday, August 28th. So at 3 all o'clock, fucking Nintendo's going to blow up or something.
Huh?
And announce, like, Metroid versus Team Ninja or some shit. I don't know.
Okay, of course, yes.
So
Metroid versus Team Ninja.
Revenge for the baby. That's what I got. It's not
Metroid versus...
Listen, okay.
That's fine.
We're a two-man thing right now. Usually I'd be stealing jokes on my phone while you guys are getting into the email thing.
Yeah.
But since I don't have time to do that, instead, we'll just go into the email thing. Hey, Matt.
We do have emails,
if
yes.
People wanted to send us one of them electronic mails.
Yes.
Where would they send that?
They send it to superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
Oh, man, that's superbestfriendcast.
We fucked it up when we already did this bit 20 minutes ago. I fucked it up. I kind of stuttered when I said it.
superbestfriendcast@gmail.com. If you send it to a different email address, it won't get to us.
So do you have access to the file where it's like dumb Star Trek emails that Wooly will never read?
No, there's like 40,000 emails in here. I could just control F.
No, but I'm
Star
saying
Trek.
Did you find a folder?
No,
where he saved
folder.
Them all
no.
Where he's like, I
why
don't
would
want
he
them
save
to...
the ones he won't read to us
to have? I don't know.
Why would he do that?
The joke breaks down at that point.
You know what? Did you watch Star Trek Next Generation HD?
HD?
Yeah. This is an important question.
What do you mean?
In HD.
No.
Okay.
Watch
this. So when you watch it in HD, there's a problem. You
know
their cool-ass Season 3 uniforms?
Yeah.
When you look at it in HD, you can see it's so clear that you can see the sweater part along their waist.
Oh yeah, because most of the time in SD it's very vague.
It's just a sweater,
huh?
And it's like
that's interesting.
It just looks like a bunch of nerds walking around in their pajamas for real now.
Well, then, to be fair, it's a bunch of nerds
it's
walking
a bunch
around
of nerds
their
walking
pajamas.
Around in their pajamas. It's true, but Riker's beard's still there, so fuck it. Did you grow your beard because you like Riker's beard?
No,
I did.
I like Riker's beard, but I just
Riker's
grew a beard.
Beard's so cool, and Riker's so cool. Everybody loves
Riker's.
Riker.
Riker's cool in the show.
Hey,
Riker's not cool in the movies.
Let's get into the emails. I got an email called "Callouts" from Mr. Travis.
Touchdown.
Not quite, damn. But says duper best friend. This is live. God damn it!
Just read the email.
All right, duper.
Super best friend cast.
No,
say that.
Dear super best call out bros.
That wasn't even close to what you were doing.
That's why I got upset.
All right.
In the past, Pat has been called out for overusing the word egregious. Matt has been called out for overuse of agree to disagree. That's wrong.
That's
wrong. Wooly's thing.
Wooly says Wooly might say that more to us outside of videos.
But you say it to Wooly to fuck with him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's it. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's totally true. I say way too many things too much.
Now, despite that's wrong, let's continue because here's what really matters.
Yeah.
Well, for the past 4 episodes, for roughly 1 month's worth of podcast, Wooly has somehow slipped the term Choginga into a conversation. Pat and Matt, please call him out on this the next time he does it until he stops. Mm. He says this.
He has said it, but I forget in what context.
He has replaced the word super in his lexicon with the word Choginga.
It's like when he stops saying safe or protect or safety with Mamoru.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. You just got to say Mamoru. Yeah. Thanks for the heads up, Travis. I'll Choginga. Make sure to. Okay. So if you see Wooly say the word Choginga somewhere.
Listen carefully or look at our reactions and we'll do a thing.
Well, that being said, that email is a little. That's from 5-6 days ago. I'm starting like Choginga. I think the era of Choginga is over. I think the era of Gogi, like him overusing Gogi.
We say Gogi for anything now because it has no. It can't be. Like, you can't pin down a lifestyle like that. You can't put a label on Gogi. You
can't do it.
Can't do it.
We got an email coming in from Emergency Email saying the Emergency Email and Wireless Network new product safety alerts have been issued.
Well, that's a great question.
Thank you.
We'll get back to you on that.
We'll get back to you on that. That's a good one. I appreciate. Oh, I just signed out of the email.
Now, I'm wondering how that is even possible.
I just signed out of the email.
To be fair, sometimes when I stream the intro's done, I'll click stop streaming.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I've done that. Yeah, it's bad.
Because the button's kind of just there.
The one that's really bad, and it hasn't happened in a bad way yet, but I did it the once and was like, uh-oh, is that I went to, like, you know, you go to your splash button, the page that doesn't have you talking on it.
Yeah.
And I was like, stop streaming, but I didn't stop streaming. I stopped recording, and then I left the stream on for like 10 extra minutes.
Yeah, there's also...
And it was like...
There was a time when me and Liam were recording a thing in OBS, but we were just streaming it with no audio for like 35 minutes.
Oh, I remember hearing about that. Don't take your dick out anywhere near your camera. I'm not taking my dick out right now.
You take it outside of the camera.
Yeah. We got an email coming in from Bailey asking, Dear Super Limited Runtime Friendos, I was recently playing a game I loved near and dear to my heart when the servers went down and the game was unplayable for that downtime. It made me realize that the game I love is on a lifeline that once cut ends, once that gets cut off, ends the game permanently, unless there's measures put forth, you know, make it offline.
Like fans or something.
Yeah. It also reminded me of Ross Scott's, from Freeman's Mind, rant on games dying. What game will you miss when the servers shut down a component of or a game system breaks and it's irreplaceable? Do you think there should be a larger effort to preserve games, like movies have the database and all that stuff, in their original state? Or maybe preserve the final updated version of the game. So everyone who plays an MMO knows the fear of just one day that game's just going to die. There's going to be a lot of really fucked up WoW players one day that are just going to. And the important thing is to give them a new crack addiction to latch onto. But that's not just that. Fighting games die. Shooters die. Like, I can't go on and play Day of Defeat anymore. There's no one to play. I played 10 matches a year or two ago, and I thought they were people, but they were just robots, right?
How long did it take you?
Too long. like I was like, oh, man, I still got it. And then I was like, I miss an era in which Third Strike is still popular, desperately. Like, that's still my favorite fighting game.
You could still... You know, you could still get people to play that, though.
Yeah.
If not on an official console thing, people play that all the time on Fightcade, for example.
Yeah.
There is a movement to keep that game going.
The question is more about, like...
Yeah, and there's something else.
That shit's just fucking gone.
I think it would be a real shame if you could just not get Anarchy Reigns multiplayer going ever again.
Well... I mean, eventually they're going to shut down the 360 and PS3.
Yeah, no, so that's when, unless it makes its way over to other consoles. Because now no one plays it regularly.
No one played it when it came out.
Yeah, but if you ask people now, like if you're a streamer or whatever,
yeah,
you'd be like...
I saw Liam wanted to do a stream of it, and he put out a big fucking call saying, hey, I'm going to play it at this time!
Yeah,
and was able to get matches.
You can get matches. I did the same sort of thing with Godzilla on the PS4. It's multiplayer. It's kind of fun. And no one plays it. So I was like, oh, it'd be, you know. Anarchy Reigns is the one because while it's single player is okay, yeah, the bulk of that game is online.
And it's a good multiplayer game. I like it.
I was sad when Assassin's Creed multiplayer went away.
The one that cuts me deep, deep, deep. Oh, Brotherhood's, you mean, right?
Brotherhood, yeah.
Oh, that was good.
4A multiplayer, but I never got
it. Oh, that Brotherhood fucking versus mode was great. Yeah, the one that cuts my soul to the core is the original Metal Gear Online.
Yes, that's one. That's
that one just...
Because I did get my time on that, but it was much too short.
Yeah, no, I went hard on it and then like left it. Was like, oh, I'll get back to it later. And
I'll do it a little
later.
And
then it died before I came back to it.
Right.
Fuck. Do you think they should put more effort in preserving this shit? I do.
Certain things, yes. Certain things, no.
There should absolutely be some kind of repository. Like, there's a film, in the States, they have a National Film Institute that just takes old movies that matter.
But how do you keep multiplayer going?
You keep extra controllers. See, the problem with this is that in film, the movie studios have the masters.
Yeah.
And they guard those, right? Properly. Like, and they can make copies and they give them out, right? In the games business, oh my God, we have heard so many fucking stories from every company just... Oh, yeah, they just burned it all. The game shipped, just burn all the documents.
And if your games are, like, based on a license, like...
You have to burn those documents.
You got to do something, but then, like, stuff when it is taken away from digital stores, and once, basically, at some point, physical editions will not be able to be bought anymore or whatever.
Think about the game preservation... responsibility to human. A game that is legally not allowed to exist anymore.
Yeah.
To the point where your duty...
Why was that?
Because,
why was it so hard?
Because they lost the...
against Epic.
They sued Epic for like not helping them with Unreal Engine.
Yeah.
And then Epic sued them back so hard that the game was no longer allowed to use the engine that it was using, which means the game can't legally exist.
Yeah.
So if you have the game, it's your legal duty.
Good thing
to
I have my copy.
It. Yeah, I know, right? I have 10.
Yeah.
No. But yeah, absolute. Ugh, it makes me sad when games disappear.
Yeah, no. Going back to I thought I meant like a mode or something. But yes, every game should be preserved somewhere so that the...
Somehow.
Like the code or the, I don't know, the ISO is just available at some point where it needs to be, where it's like it's not available anywhere else.
If you work at a game developer, please push to have some kind of like long-term master copies created. I know it's a little bit of money, but like you might want them someday. Sega has been awful about keeping its old games.
They
keep releasing the same 15 to 20 games on the, in their collections.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder, is it because they straight up don't have any of the other ones?
It's a high likelihood.
Yeah.
Like, I'm also really, like, I was playing, like, an old PC game of, like, an IBM game. And those, like, there's steps, there's websites that... I think there's archive.org or there's something like that, that will do that for some games. But even then, not everything's there. And PC IBM stuff in the early to mid-90s is like a delicious era where I'm like, there's so much weird stuff during that. And like, you can't find everything. So yeah, some sort of depository.
It's one of the things that I actually adore about good old games. They'll take games that it's like, this is not going to happen.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like, yo, I ran DOSBox and I did the shit and it's not going to happen. And they go, oh, here you go. We fixed DOSBox for this game.
Right.
Oh, it's appreciated. We got another email coming in from Dire Doe.
Dire Doe.
Says a couple weeks ago. It's to Dear Super Old Man Friends.
That's pretty good.
A couple weeks ago, my nephews were visiting, and one of them saw my old copy of Pokemon Yellow that I was replaying. He asked if he could hop on, and since I was only about an hour in, no worries about save data deletion, I was happy to let him play. My warm glow of nostalgia was quickly dampened when about 5 minutes later, he started complaining about how he couldn't figure out how to turn the brightness on the screen up.
And this is on the...
Game Boy.
The Game Boy.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, my question for you guys is, what is a feature or mechanic that old games had that you still feel nostalgic fondness for, even though it was honestly a little broken and shitty?
You mean like the fact that there was no brightness on the Game Boy?
Yeah, it's like a feature that had to exist because
it's not a feature, it's the lack of a feature. Yeah.
Like, I picked this because it was a good question, but I had trouble thinking of one when I saw it.
It's too good.
I miss
handles on consoles.
Yeah.
Like the GameCube did.
You know what? I just thought of one.
It's my favorite feature of the GameCube.
It's a really good feature.
That's it, though.
You got to take your GameCube around and play Melee with your bros. My favorite feature is that I miss, and it was only there because it sucked, is when games used to take a really, really, really long time to save, you would have these lavish, elaborate save game animations.
What's an example?
So Xenogears has probably my favorite one, where it's a fuel gauge and for a mech. Mm-hmm. And when you save, it climbs up and makes a bunch of mecha noises until it hits the top. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But games now that or if you were on a PC, you just hit F5 and it just says fucking quick save or whatever. Yeah, yeah. But I miss little details like that. I miss hiding horrible bullshit in games with fun little mini games to distract you until fucking Namco got that fucking patent. And then you can't have that shit anymore.
Yeah.
Fucking motherfuckers.
I know this is very similar to the GameCube thing, but like, I have a couple of Jaguar games, and Jaguar games have a handle on the cartridge.
On the cartridge?
It's a grip. It's like this little tube that's attached to and molded into the plastic of the cartridge, and it's for grabbing the game out of the console easily. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say you have a Genesis or Super Nintendo cart in there. It's like, oh, I can't get it. But the Jaguar has a handle on the game so that you can just easily grip it and like pull. You know, like a bottle or something, they would like make the grooves of human fingers.
Yeah.
Like, hey, look, you can grab it easy.
But it's like that for video games.
It's like that for video games.
That's pretty good. There's also a PS with this question.
PS?
PS. I started working at a sex shop, and every time I have to stock up or sell an auto blow, it makes me giggle thanks to you guys.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
Did you know that it's actually super affordable? It's about the It's about the same price as a high-end vibrator. Just throwing it out there.
Okay.
Thanks for the heads up, man.
I didn't know that it's to the point that it got sold in like just general stores.
Yeah, that means awesome. It's made it.
Good for you, Auto Man.
And we got a final question for today. It's from Bailey.
There's another Bailey.
Is this the same fucking guy?
There was a Bailey you mentioned before.
Oh, shit. Did I read the same fucking guy's thing? Because that's an asshole thing of me to do. It's super the same guy.
Well, find another one then.
Oh,
we can't answer. We can't possibly answer that question twice.
That's horrible. Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Fill for time while I find a better email.
So the reason why I know that the Audible is affordable is because I looked it up on the
internet. Yeah, I bet you fucking did.
And then I looked at the price, and I was like, that sure is affordable. Then I clicked exit on the browser, and that's the end of the story. There's no other part to it.
I found an email from Josh.
Yes,
that's just what's up with Pat with nothing in the text.
He's currently alive. That would, I guess, be the best update right now.
Taking my vitamins.
He watched
a bunch of
Twin Peaks, so that's it. As for all the other crippling issues, I don't know what they're at right now.
There's
but
a
that's
lot.
That's fine.
I
think you need to find one more question.
I need to find it. That was fucking.
But that was a good anecdote there. I literally think you should just random.
Oh God, I'm gonna fucking.
It's no problem.
Okay. I got one.
Okay.
It's the most recent email that we got.
Sure.
It came in 11 minutes ago.
So it could be someone that's listening to this very podcast.
It probably is. All right, we got an email from Tyler.
Tyler.
The subject line is what cracked me up. Hey, guys, just wondering what you think of that game Cliffy B made called Lawbreakers. I haven't played it, but a close friend of mine worked on it and claims it to be quite fun despite it looking pretty generic in my opinion. Also, it appears to have died almost instantly.
It's nothing like Overwatch.
It's nothing like Overwatch.
But it has this cool anti-gravity mechanic.
Yeah, it's a good thing that games like Overwatch can come out so that we can know what to not do, even though we started to make this game before Overwatch.
I mean, Spider-Man looks great, but I mean, come on, at the end of the day, it's just Spider-Man.
Lawbreakers is unfortunate. It is... like that game was built. It was
built,
you know,
to fail.
Like we've used the term sent to die or born to die.
This is actually different.
This was built to die.
Yeah, it's built.
Every part of Lawbreakers was perfectly crafted to not sell. Every single interview, every single promotional piece of material.
Is Lawbreakers self-published? Does it have its own publisher? Or is it just Cliffy B's company?
It's probably published somewhere.
No, I mean, like, it's not like Epic. Epic's not, like, publishing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make sure of that, because there's a thing that they could do that I think... publisher Nexon... who I'm not really familiar with.
That sounds like a fucking Korean MMO
company. It does, doesn't it? I was going to say, if you know how it's really sad how, what's his face? The liar magician.
Randy Pitchman.
Randy Pitchboy.
Huge liar man.
And he's a magician. So, you know, it was really sad and pathetic how he would do things like well after Battleborn is like this huge failure.
Oh no, there's all this Battleborn porn.
Oh no. And
that,
like,
I made.
So if I had no publisher to deal with, let's say I self-published the thing, which they did.
Gearbox,
right? But in the case of Lawbreakers and Cliffy B's Boss Key Productions, what I would do is that I would rebrand my game very quickly.
Yeah.
And I would call it Lawbreakers Built to Die.
Mm-hmm.
And I would actually try to make fun of the fact that no one's playing.
Well, I mean, no one's playing. You're not going to lose anything.
Yeah, exactly. So what do you have to fucking lose?
Like,
just drop all pretenses and be like, this will not be a success, but maybe we can turn it into a cult thing by just being...
For context,
you know,
for people, because this was a sad story context that we kind of skipped over. Lawbreakers debuted, I think, last week or the week before. And it debuted with lower launch numbers than Battleborn did.
Yes. And those were bad.
And then cratered to like...
less than 1,000 people
sub 1,000 a day.
And it's a multiplayer-only game, is it not?
I think you, I forgot.
Not those $60 multiplayer-only bullshit
this
games.
This is a $30 game. I was seeing publications saying we went online and at peak hours we could only get into like 230... 300 person like server lobbies, and it's like, oh man, I fucked that sentence up. What I mean is, you see that there's only like 300 people online at a time. So like, this game flopped about as hard as a game can fucking flop that has any money put into it.
Yeah, for its pedigree.
And the fact that like Cliffy B's like advertising and interview style clashing with this massive failure, it's darkly hilarious to me.
In which you can watch such a compilation.
Crowdcat's got a fucking video where he just slings together a bunch of funny little anecdotes and stuff. But poor Lawbreakers, like poor Cliffy B and his team for making a game no one wanted to play.
Literally, for anyone that I've seen that's played, it's like, it's actually a really fun hero shooter.
But why would you play that instead of Overwatch. Or TF2? You know. And there's even that interview with Cliffy B where he describes, it's like, oh, we know that this market's cutthroat, and it's like there's only room for two or three games, and we don't think
everyone else is fighting for the scraps.
Yeah, we don't think we're going to beat Overwatch. Maybe we can be two or three. It's like, that's a bad plan.
So when I went to PAX East, the fucking line to play Lawbreakers was constant, but never like not a thing.
There was always people.
There was always people, but like with the people that are playing on the kiosks, there's a line that I never saw move past a certain point whenever I walked by. And I had no interest in playing it. And like Cliffy B, I kind of was always like, yeah, he's a cool, fun guy. I saw him at a restaurant once when I went to LA.
Kind of a jackass. He's like a
but
David Jaffe
light. I didn't know he was a jackass as bad as he actually is until this stuff. Like, I think I knew beforehand, but like those interviews and stuff where I'm like, that's not how you fucking sell a game. You don't sell a game to Overwatch fans by insulting Overwatch.
Right.
F- Fuck you. Buy my product.
New MOBA comes out. This shit's all over your Dota and League of Legends. That shit's for babies. It's like, no.
We're talking about this for a fighting game that we're going to be playing soon, where you don't get Mortal Kombat fans to join to play your game when you say, when you tell them that their Mortal Kombat characters that they like are lame and stupid.
Yeah.
You know?
Because they get all defensive and they're like, but I like those characters. Does that mean I'll hate your characters?
I feel like I will hate your character.
Now I hate you because you made fun of me.
Yeah, this is working out really well for me now because I get to like the thing I like and hate the thing that says what I like is stupid.
It's easy. It's super easy.
So, you know, I don't even know if I'll ever even give Lawbreakers a chance, but like...
I don't think I've seen more than like 4 minutes of footage of the
fucking
game.
It's like I see guys jumping around and they shoot
just
things.
Looks like Overwatch tournament. Unreal Overwatch tournament.
Oh, but not for the anime crowd.
No, hell no. Those guys are weirdos.
These are for mature people, which is another great thing to say to the Overwatch crowd.
Yeah. Hey, you know those colorful, amazing designs you like? That's some stupid anime bullshit. You hate that shit, right? Actually, anime is really popular right now, Kalu.
And your game is coming out when Unreal, whatever, Champions, whatever it is.
Yeah.
The new Unreal thing.
So it's like, well, that has the Unreal market on fucking
Yeah, and it's got fucking Doomslayer in it. Yeah. So I might even try that.
And Quake Guy and shit. I might try it.
I might try it.
I don't fucking know, but I like Quake 3 a whole bunch. Who the fuck doesn't like Quake 3? Quake 3 is the shit.
No, wait. It's Quake. What is it? What is it? What's it called?
Quake Heroes.
Quake Champions? I thought it was Unreal.
I legitimately thought it was Quake Heroes. Is it actually called Quake Champions?
Wasn't there an Unreal game that they were making that was going to be driven by fan feedback and shit?
Is that Unreal Heroes?
I think it's they announced a new Unreal.
These fucking
like 2 years ago.
Shooter MOBAs, man. There's a lot of them.
Why I'm glad games like Dusk and like Strafe that are like, hey, remember this old shitty first person shooters that had really long campaigns?
Yeah.
They were fun.
Yeah.
I miss those.
Yeah.
So Shadow Warrior's good.
Hey, we're done with emails.
I think we're done with emails.
And that means we're pretty much done with the podcast.
Pretty much. There's still bits.
Hasn't been that big of a disaster.
It hasn't.
I hope Woolies travels.
We've had ones that have been bigger disasters than this.
Well, until I hit stop and the computer turns off and nothing saves.
Never forget.
Hope Wooly. Hope you're out there having fun in the Netherlands. Where the fuck is he?
Amsterdam.
Amsterdam. Hope that thing that you went there to do goes well for you. Hope it doesn't have any lasting side effects.
That's when like a laugh is literally stuck at the top of your mouth.
Yeah.
And your tongue and like the only thing that's keeping it back is your tongue and your teeth.
Yeah. Hopefully it takes
the gates of that the joke needs to pass.
There's no rejection going on. What?
we have coming up on the channel.
So we have some business announcements or whatever the fuck you'd call it. What did you call it? Old business. Over the next week, because I'm not sure how many days it's going to last.
It might not be that many.
Might not be that many. But Wooly's gone, obviously. He's in all the LPs. And Matt and I are building a backlog of shitstorms.
Yes.
To make sure
everyone gets shitstorms.
So workflow for this week is a little lower than it otherwise would be.
So
there will always be at least one video a day.
Don't freak out.
Always. But there may not be a second video every day over the next couple days.
Before Wooly left, we all recorded as much as we possibly could.
And it was not
amongst
enough.
Everything else. And it was
super
not enough.
Not even close.
No.
So hopefully you guys aren't too mad about that.
Oh, and I'll say another thing is that we said it at the start of the Uncharted videos that we did. But we took a look at Uncharted because we had a shitload of control issues playing fucking Mark Echo on Steam again. Every button that we set on Joy to Key just stopped saving, stopped working.
That's great.
Couldn't figure
it out. That's super good.
So I might play back up another 3 hours on the Xbox version, my Xbox.
Awesome.
Perhaps.
We are going to streetwise it.
I might have to do that depending. I'm going to try to fix the control issues with another program. Billy said it helped me. So that's going to actually be gone until me and Wooly make some sort of final decision. We will for sure be playing. We're not going to abandon it. We just have to kind of figure out the best way to do it because we can't deal with this shit anymore. The game's good, so it sucks, but well, there you go.
All right, what else we got? Hey, Matt, you got Matthew McMuscles, and that's a stream and a channel. Those are your side babies.
Yeah, I have no stream plan right now, but if you're listening to this right now, being on Monday, at the penultimate episode of Bible Black.
Did you ask Austin's permission to use his face on the titties? That's good.
I didn't ask many people's permission.
That's good. That's real good.
So, yeah, the penultimate episode happens tonight, and then there's one more after that.
I like to see that you. It's super your fault, all that creepy shit that's happening on our subreddit
right
now.
It's not my fault.
You said it was your fault.
I did.
Yep. I might stream something over on Angry Spat. Oh, yeah, I got to beat Sonic & Knuckles. I streamed Sonic 3 the other day.
Yeah.
And I was planning to beat Sonic 3 and Knuckles because it's not that long, right?
I was
Sonic. And you ever have that thing where you die a couple times a platformer in such bullshit ways that you're squeezing it and you can feel the creak? And you're like, I'm actually going to snap this fucking thing in half.
I was playing something recently where I got really, really angry, but I forget what it was. It wasn't a platform, but
you know that feeling, right? Yes, where it's yeah, obviously. I could destroy this with my man strength and just kill it. So I had to fuck it. So yeah, I'll sometime this weekend over at Angriest Pat, I'll beat Sonic and Knuckles or whatever. Wooly probably put some bullshit up on Wooly Versus. It's probably ass.
I assume
ass.
He has. Probably another seven Dragon Ball
videos. Yeah, it's probably a bunch of Dragon Ball videos.
They're very good, but...
Oh, that's... It's.
I know more about Dragon Ball this week than I have known about any fighting game.
His Dragon Ball, like, move list breakdowns are actually super high quality.
And the fucking clip of Android 16's fucking super...
The final move that should not be... No, the final
power
that
should
not
be
used.
It was really great, a hype moment there.
Oh,
so,
fucking great.
Yeah, I'm sure that's all contained. I doubt he would let that linger when he's gone. All
right, so we're going to wrap it up, and hopefully see you guys next week.
Yeah.
With a new and improved Wooly.
Yeah.
And
I'm going to assume that we'll have the Game of Thrones spoiler cast at the end of the
next
one.
Oh, yeah, that'll be fun.
I assume he had to watch
it. Now, if you've listened to this podcast thus far and there has been some horrible problem with it, that's my fault probably. So I probably fucked up the recording or whatever. So hopefully you didn't get bleeding ears or whatever. And if you did, blame Wooly for not teaching me properly.
I think it should be fine.
Yeah, okay. Y'all have a good day. And goodbye. I'm stalling for time because I don't know what button to hit because I didn't read the instructions
carefully. Okay, goodbye.
Oh, okay, hold on. Okay.
This is the goodbye song.
Okay,
goodbye
you. Okay, answer the emails. When you've answered the emails, mute your mics and click Uno. Okay. All right, bye everybody.
All right, hopefully that's fine.
I did so laga, what's the cool? You are shy, all in the moon, what's the cool? I took a color, sorry, that's mine, the more. Ima wa muta dio, chama su yatu, a yubi saki hit that day. Down, you are shy, I did kodo, hayakuna. よっしゃ、俺の鼓動速くなる。お前もとのさ迷う心に、熱く燃えてる。全てと化す無残に飛び散る。外さ。 闇を切り裂いて。 も二人の安らぎ壊すことできはしないさ引きつけ合う絆は離れない二